Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carefree Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there to the end, 100%. You love, from the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there to the end, 100%.
We carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Ragland is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Well, my target audience is going to be 50 plus. I am a woman of 50 plus, and I want to be able to have a platform for women 50 plus to be able to feel that they can recreate themselves. It's like almost a rediscovery. And a lot of times, too often, I hear women 50 plus say, I just want to retire, I'm tired, it's over for me, and I want to change that type of mindset to, and not really change the mindset, but just add to that by letting them know there's so many things they still can do at 50 plus, and all it takes is just having a platform of women coming together and sharing different perspectives, and I think that that is going to open the door for women 50 plus to know that there's so much more to us.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is my honor to welcome back to our broadcast, Mr. Jorge. And along with Jorge, we have Miss Naomi. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show.
Welcome.
Thank you so much, Carrie. How are you?
Awesome. I am doing great. Well, first, I want to kind of jump on in, and to all of our sharp-eared listeners, they kind of already know who you are, Jorge.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have been a part of the content and programming throughout our network, I should say. We have like a wonderful podcast that's available on 9 platforms, including Spotify and Apple. And they can find you right there. So when they're on listening to their favorite music, you've already informed a great deal of folks all about autism when they have listened to you on the podcast on Spotify, in addition to our archived content through the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we are just so honored. You did a great job. And so I just wanted to let you know that on behalf of all of us at the Hair Radio Morning Show, thank you for educating us on the subject of autism. Great job.
Thank you so much.
Now, today, we have a very special reason for bringing you back to this network and to our amazing show, and that is because you're not alone, like Michael Jackson sang. You are not alone. We have Miss Naomi. Miss Naomi, who is, I'm going to let you introduce Miss Naomi Jorge. Who is Naomi? Tell us all about Naomi Jorge.
Naomi, I guess you can say it in 3 simple words. I love you.
Wow. Okay. And so we're going to just expound on that a little bit. Naomi, if you haven't figured it out already, Naomi and Jorge are an amazing couple who I have the great honor and privilege to introduce you guys to on a much deeper level as well. And that is because Jorge himself has been considered autistic, and so so today's focus is to see how you guys, and Naomi, you're a big part of this as well, how to see how you guys are kind of, you know, building and starting a brand new relationship with something like autism as the backdrop as well. And so we're going to talk about all of that. But first, let's kind of at least tell the folks, just remind everybody, Jorge, on what your life is like with autism. We'll start there.
Yes, for sure, Kerry, for sure. I guess I can tell you autism.
And we're going to have you to speak up really well, Mr.
Yes,
you speak up really well on there. Go right ahead.
I guess I can tell you guys that autism is a blessing, but a curse in disguise as a blessing. There's a lot of difficulties that I struggle with, but there's a lot of blessings and benefits that Naomi can have with autism. She can agree. But autism, on a day-to-day basis, I struggle socially. And as far as sensitivity, the noises, the volumes can be a lot more difficult to manage compared to you guys that hear six times lesser than we do.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, and you, go ahead. Did you have something else you wanted to add?
As far as relationships, day-to-day meeting people, and I guess it can be hard to communicate, especially when I'm overwhelmed, or it can be hard to understand what someone's feeling, judging by their looks. But it's usually things that I can deal with and I cope with, but I also know how to manage it enough to help me, you know, deal with life on a day-to-day basis, Kerry.
Awesome. Well, let me just, as you guys know out there, we all have Google fingers. We're all Google professors. So once I looked up autism, and online it says this, autism is a complex neurobehavioral disorder characterized by impairment in reciprocal social interaction, impairment in communication, and the presence of repetitive and stereotypic patterns of behaviors, interests, and activities. The onset of symptoms is typically before the age of 3. The severity of impairment in the given domains, as well as the pattern of impairments, varies from individual to individual. That is why diagnosticians refer to a spectrum of disability, and we've all heard that, ASD. Autism spectral disorder. So now I want to turn over a little bit, and we're going to get a little bit more into this. And as I mentioned earlier at the top of this wonderful piece, is that we have an entire video that's out there. You can look and see Mr. Jorge. He's on camera with me as well, which is on our Salon TV Network app, as well as on our Salon TV channel, and then, of course, on Spotify with a podcast. Now, I've got to turn to, I'm getting ready to say, our very special guest today, Naomi, who this is the first time you're making a debut on on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So welcome and good morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm kind of nervous, but...
Oh, no. Don't be nervous. You are amongst friends. And we welcome you. And so, Naomi, and that's what I want to do. I want to start. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
A little bit of myself? Well,
yes.
I can describe myself as a loving person, first of all. I love to be myself, and I also like to be the right, no matter what the society says. I always like to be the right in this world.
Wonderful. Now, I have to say that the two of you are a couple. And,
yes.
Jorge, we are familiar with Jorge's challenges in being autistic. And, Naomi, you are not. You are not autistic. So I want, what's your impression? What did you, when you guys met and you started to this amazing friendship, what went through your mind? Were you familiar with autism? Because I really, until I had a chance to meet Jorge and learn up close what this is all about, and I can again thank Mr. Jorge for that, you know, I was totally unknowing. So this whole thing is very important. It was a big part of my education, and we're helping a lot of listeners today with this, as Jorge has kind of educated them along the way as well. So what went through your mind, Naomi?
Well, being honest.
Yeah. Oh, sure, be honest. Yeah. We're not going to tell anybody on the show. It's just between us three today.
being honest, when we just met, I like him as a friend because he always been a wonderful person, an excellent man. At first, I didn't know he was autistic because back in the time, I didn't really know what autistic looks like. I thought back in the moment, I thought autistic was, as many movie theater, they pointed out as more like mentally challenged. But he definitely, he is a wonderful man. So I learned what is autistic when I met him. When he told me, hey, I'm autistic, I'm like, are you serious? You're lying. You're lying. But he showed me, actually, it's true. He struggled socially, but definitely that's something that we can work on, because the key of our relationship is that it's just accepting to each other, accepting our strengths and also weaknesses. We need to accept our weaknesses in order to overcome and to achieve our goals also as a couple. So he needs to accept me as I am, and I also need to accept him as he is, as an autistic, wonderful person, I will say. So we also need to love to each other. Doesn't matter if he's not perfect. He won't be perfect, as well as I. I will never be perfect. But we can be perfect to each other, right, Georgie?
I agree.
You agree?
Wow.
So
I'm just, yes, please, go right ahead, Naomi.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry.
No, please.
So being honest, being with an autistic man as Georgie has been a blessing. Sometimes he might say it's not a blessing, it's like a curse. I don't really think so. It's just how we handle the things. Can be a curse depending if we don't know how to handle autism. If we know what it is, so we know how to handle it. Exactly. So we know how to handle it, and once we know, that can be a blessing, because what I love from Georgie is that he can lie to me. Clearly, he can. He can, because he can. You cannot, when he try to lie to you, he can't. Sometimes he tries to impress or do something or try to, I don't know, to lie, but you can tell by his eyes he's lying, and he at the end, even if I don't notice, he says like, oh, I'm sorry, Naomi, I lied to you. I'm like, okay. He's really honest.
5 seconds later, after 10 minutes,
yeah.
Babe, I lied.
Yeah, because he gets totally, like, uncomfortable with himself. He cannot, he can't be an actor when he's lying.
Yes.
So he gets really uncomfortable with himself, and you can notice. So you start asking him, hey, Georgie, there is something wrong. And then he's like, oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Naomi, I lied to you. And I said, I'm not as young as baby, I know.
So to interrupt, I'm going to tell you the truth. So we were, like, a couple of weeks back. We were laughing about it. I said, Naomi, I'm going to be honest. If I ever have staples, if I come home from work with staples in my eyes, you've got to know that I cheated on you.
Oh.
But definitely he won.
No. We know he's joking.
But definitely
well,
he won.
I am blown away. I really am. I have to say, I'm just beyond words. Beyond words. And I appreciate both of you being so candid and just being upfront and honest. And I have to say in this, you know, let me just catch everybody up to speed on this. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have two folks on who are very special to me, and they're actually very special guests today. We're talking about the subject of not just autism, but how it also affects the folks closest to you. And in the case of our guest today, we have Mr. Jorge. We're going to just say Jorge. Now, Jorge is autistic.
Yes,
and
sir.
Yes, you are autistic. But, you know, you're not here today by yourself. You have an amazing, amazing, wonderful lady named Naomi, who we're overjoyed to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show. And to hear the words that you've just expressed about Jorge and how you're working together, you're a team, a unit, if you will, it's just mind-blowing. And so I just wanted you to know that.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Awesome. You did well, Jorge. You did well.
Really appreciate it.
Okay. Yes. And Naomi? You did well. You did well. Okay. So I just want you guys to know that. Now, for you listeners out there, this is really, really an important subject. And you know what? The whole thing about the social aspect of it, because these are things that those of us who are not dealing with autistic may take for granted. And so I can actually tell you I would probably lose my patience very quickly early on, because I might not understand what to look out for. So this is why it's important to familiarize yourself, I think educate is a better way to say it. Did you begin to kind of do some research, Naomi? How have you kind of, you know, prepared yourself, so to speak, for some of the challenges in being with someone who's autistic?
Yes. We had to do some research. In my case, I need to do and I'm still doing some research about how to work with an autistic when he's on his mood. Sometimes he gets overwhelmed with certain things, with certain noises too. So I do, in my case, I really need to be really calm and try to speak to him really in a lovely way. For example, in his case, he loves me when I hug him. Anytime that I need to tell him maybe a really strong topic, maybe something that can make him overwhelmed, I need to first hug him and tell him beautiful stuff, and then I can start telling him what I really need to tell him.
And it works every time.
Yes, and it works all the time. Thanks, God.
But to interrupt you, I also have to, you know, get onto a same level with understanding that it's not just an autistic in a relationship. It's also Naomi.
Yes.
The non-autistic. So we're both getting to the point where we're accepting each other's differences, and we're also trying to learn how to manage each other's differences instead of making firing gas.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, go right ahead.
There's no firing chain where we can create explosion. We don't want that. So I think for me, the best thing that I've been trying to do is learning that I am autistic. I struggle socially. So instead of asking her to help me and be patient with me, I have to do the same thing for her. Please be patient with her because I'm struggling.
Exactly. You were next on our list. I just wanted you to know. I was coming to you next, Jorge, but you took us right there because I was about to ask you. Now, we have identified the challenges of a person who is non-autistic and interacting with someone in a relationship who is autistic.
Yes.
Well, now we're going to flip it around as Jorge kind of just went there. So what are some of the I'm coming in with my stereotypes, of course, so that's so that I understand. But Jorge, are there any challenges in being in a relationship with someone who is non-autistic?
Honestly, I would be honest with you. The main challenge is social tension. Like sometimes you might want to say certain things, but there's a time and place for everything. So differentiating those two differences can be difficult depending on how I am feeling and depending on why I'm feeling and when I'm feeling.
Okay. And I was just thinking as you were saying, I was like, well, that kind of sounds like all relationships to me. But I know what you mean. It can be exacerbated or, you know, accentuated because of the
audience. A lot more intense for us.
Right, exactly. Okay, wow. Well, folks, again, if you're just kind of tuning on in, you are listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and with me today on the line, we have Jorge and Naomi. Now, you guys are in the Northeast. Where are you guys? What state are you guys in?
We are in New Jersey.
New Jersey, okay. And, yes, you go ahead. I'm sorry, Jorge. Go right on in. Jump in.
All the way from Atlantic City, New Jersey to New York.
So. Oh, and we love folks in Atlantic City because we have the Hair Nation Expo events down in Atlantic City. So
yes,
at the Showboat Hotel. So we just love that, and we're going to remind folks about that before we say goodbye to you today. But right now, I kind of want to jump back on in. And I appreciate the way that you both are being, as I said earlier, you're being very candid about this, and it's not easy to do because there are a lot of folks out there who have children who are autistic, who have all kinds of, parents and you know, siblings and so forth. And this was something that, you know, me, myself, and my generation, I was not as familiar with this. So this seems to me to be something that's relatively recent for me to learn about, as I mentioned earlier. The other thing is that New Jersey seems to, as a state in terms of dealing with autism, it has its own set of numbers and things. It just seems like it's kind of an anomaly. It's in a different, they have all kinds of different dynamics in terms of how autism affects, it seems, the people are affected in the state of New Jersey versus some of the other states. So we, you know, we can definitely research that. So I just have to say, Jorge, can you describe to us a little bit more about some of the, you know, the things, the way autism might affect someone like yourself, you know, some of the things that might be, again, a little bit more of a challenge. So you said kind of listening or like just social interactions and things like that. That's where it really, that's the whole idea, I think, behind it, right?
For sure. I'm just going to start off with this. I can't tell you what other autistics feel, but as far as myself, I can try to help you understand autism in general. Autism, if we think about it, kind of refer back to a mixtape or a studio session, right? You see different knobs and different volumes for different areas, right?
Yeah.
Now imagine that as an autistic, where you see different volumes for different areas. Now incorporate the spectrum to it. A spectrum means not everybody that's autistic is going to act or deal with things the way this autistic does. You know, so when I think about autism, to help people understand a spectrum, you got to refer back to that studio session with different knobs to different areas. Which one can be louder, which one can be softer, which one can be overwhelmed, or which one's going to be a little overwhelmed. There's always a different knob to each autistic.
I have to say, now there are all kinds of beliefs out there where this has come from. And Naomi, I'm sure you've heard of some of these things. Does it not go through your mind sometimes? You're like, well, where did this come from? Because, you know, and when you see and meet, when you meet Jorge, you meet him and you don't, you know, you can't imagine. And he's, Jorge, you're just such a down-to-earth, smart as a whip, kind-hearted soul. And, you know, if you didn't really share that you were, you know, autism is one of your challenges, if you will, we wouldn't know.
Right, would recognize.
Yes, right.
We wouldn't know. So, like you kind of mentioned earlier, Naomi.
What does autism look like?
Right.
Yeah.
What does it, well, let me ask you guys that question. What does it look like now?
It looks like acceptance.
Yeah. Mm. Definitely, it looks like, we all are different. Definitely, every people we struggle in certain areas, but we can be, all of us, we can be different because in a struggle in different areas. But at the same time, we all will look the same. Autistic, there is not a special face for autistic. Autistic is just a normal person that struggle in an area that I might not struggle.
kind of explain it like this. Autism, we make the easy things look hard.
Yeah.
And the hard things look easy.
Yeah, sometimes.
So
yeah.
The easiest things that most people would take for granted, we struggle with. Like, most people wouldn't think about going out in public and having to worry about noises. So everything that's easy to you guys might be harder for us. But most things that are harder for you guys are actually easier for us, such as technology or art or things like the hardest things we can do, but it's the easiest things.
Yes, sure.
That are really difficult for autism.
Yes, sure.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I can say this. Jorge, you do not let any of these things stop you.
No,
you thrive. And there are folks out here who may not, their challenges may be some things that we just can't see or know about, and they seem able-bodied, so to speak. But we let those things, they kind of impede us from going on with our lives. And if there's one thing I'm picking up today, right here on this show, in this moment, is that to have someone to support you as you do, and I mean this to each of you, to have each other, it says a whole lot.
Yes.
It says a whole lot.
Yes.
So
sometimes
I just want to, yes, go ahead.
Sometimes when I'm overwhelmed with Naomi, it really helps to move in gratitude, you know. Certain times I'll be like, man, she don't understand me. And sometimes I want to be upset. But it helps to live in gratitude. Like, even though I'm upset with her, I appreciate that she's not like everybody else.
Well,
and
no, she's not like everybody else. I heard that as soon as she said about two or three sentences. I heard that very clearly, Naomi. I have to say, I'm so honored, and so have our listeners. So, we can tell why, you know, that how you guys are together, obviously. Great job. Great job for both of you. Now, I want to just inform our listeners a little bit here. And again, you know, we want to remind everybody that if you want to, you know, find out more about Jorge and Naomi's journey, you can, because Jorge has a wonderful Instagram account. So that you guys can visit and sign up or follow him or whatever they say these days. Go to on what is it on Instagram as follow?
Model fan page would be stylistic_autistic.
Okay, so let's say that again slowly for everybody. Folks my age and up. Go slow. Yes.
My model fan page would be stylistic_autistic.
And that's your fan page for your modeling career. We want to remind everybody, too, because we didn't really get to do that today so much. But Jorge is a model. He is fantastic. He's also going to be working with us and continuing to work with us here on the Hair Radio Salon TV Network, all that wonderful good stuff. And yeah. Also, Miss Naomi, I'm hoping you both will be joining us. I saw some great pictures, and we love the pictures. First of all, I said, wow. I immediately contacted Jorge, and I said, this is awesome. You guys make an awesome couple, and now
thank
we know why.
Thank you so much.
So,
thank
great
you
job.
So.
It's my pleasure. So, listen, we're going to have you guys to come back soon to the broadcast and kind of, you know, bring us up to date. We're going to continue to follow you guys. And, you know, and again, on Instagram, go to stylistic_autistic. Again, that's stylistic_autistic, and that will connect you with Jorge's modeling page with all of his information. You could see a whole bunch of stuff there, which is just great. And again, visit on the internet. You can even Google the Kerry Hines podcast, and you could even type in Jorge's first name. I'm sure it'll pop up there, and you'll see the podcast from our original interview that we did, which we have a whole bunch of wonderful things and connections out there and podcasts and video and all that wonderful good stuff. And this interview, of course, will just play all across our networks for everybody and to keep them informed of what you're doing. So again, Naomi, any last thoughts? I'll ask each of you. Any last thoughts, Naomi?
Yes, sure. My last thought is that this relationship, this experience was
Georgie, has been definitely a blessing for me because that helped me to know what really love is. Love is not just a feeling, it's also a choice to, it's a choice to love that person. It's a choice to say, hey, I accept you as you are, doesn't matter what, and I chose you to love you just as you are. Also, he has helped me to be more tolerant, right, and more lovely, right, Georgie? And more patient, of course. I don't used to be really patient with people before, but after, since I've been here with him, has been definitely a blessing, a personal blessing for me. I feel that I am a better person thanks to him.
It gets no better than that. Jorge, we're giving you the last word. Did you have anyone that you want to shout out to or last thoughts that you want to leave?
Wait. There's no shout out without Marcus. Marcus, if you are listening to this, shout out to Marcus. God bless you, man. Love you. John Freeman, shout out to you. Thank you for hooking me up with Gary Hines. And to all the people that I sincerely love and genuinely appreciate, I thank God for you guys and your support. And you're just being you guys in my life. And Patty, love you. And everybody else, you guys know. So, Gary Hines, shout out to Gary. Thank you so much for this amazing opportunity once more. And
yes.
Looking forward to many more.
Awesome. Well, listen, I want to thank again Mr. Jorge and Naomi for being our guests on today's broadcast, two amazing individuals out here navigating the world. And, again, we're just honored to have them on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And do come back soon.
Likewise, Gary. We appreciate this.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Clint Beast on the board.
You niggas be tripping.
What up, bro? You rocking with State Watch Shit. I'm inviting everybody to take a look and listen to see what I got going on. Catch me streaming on all music platforms under Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses. You can also find me on social media, Statewide Chip on Facebook, Statewide Chip Official on Instagram, and Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses on YouTube.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. She actually is a hairstylist, and I should say a superstar celebrity hairstylist and author. It is the Hair Radio Morning Show's great honor to welcome Miss Kim Berry. Good morning, Kim. Good morning to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It is truly a great special honor for us. Let's just start and jump right on in. We need to tell everybody what makes you a celebrity superstar stylist. One of your most notable clients, of course, the one and only Prince. Let's start there, Kim. First, tell us a little bit about yourself first. Now, you're based out where? Where are you based?
Los Angeles, California, born and raised.
Oh, really? You were actually born in, I don't know anybody who was actually born in Los Angeles.
Yes. Born and raised. My mother and father are from the country, North Carolina and Tennessee, so everybody thinks I'm from the country because I got their ways, but I'm born and raised in Cali.
Well, listen, we have a lot in common because same thing here. My parents are from North Carolina, and I lived out in Los Angeles, but you were actually born there, so that is amazing. I love that. So now tell everybody, you are a celebrity stylist. I call you a celebrity stylist. Sometimes folks, some of the hairstylists don't want to be known as a celebrity stylist. They don't want to be referred to that way. Does it bother you when someone says celebrity stylist?
No, I actually like it. I'm sorry. I was like, you know, you worked in the industry long enough. You're owed your dues. I appreciate the tag. I appreciate
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely fit the bill. So I want to, yes, well, absolutely. First of all, you have notably one of the most famous clients in the world. There is very, very few folks other than the late prince who would be on par if there was such. So let's turn to that. Let's go back a little bit, Kim. Now, I also want to tell everybody, first of all, one of the reasons you've been out, you've talked a little bit, I saw some things online, you have authored a book that kind of chronicles a lot of this, I'm sure, which I'm very proud about. And that book is called Diamonds and Curls, with a Z. I love that on the end there.
Yeah.
Yes, and about your life working with Prince. So let's start at the beginning. I know you've been asked a lot of these questions, I've seen, but I think it's a remarkable story, and I'm very excited to have you on board. So let's start at the beginning. How did this all come about? Now, what I did uncover, which I thought was a hilarious story, I did catch part of it, where the prince's former stylist before you pretty much quit on the job, so to speak. Can you, do you remember that story? Can you please tell our audience? I think it's hilarious how, just the thought of it, cracks me up. Yes, please share that story, Kim.
Yes, I had been actually dating Prince's bodyguard, and I just kept asking him, you know, get me a job.
Well, now,
you know,
that
so
wasn't
we
Big Coco,
together.
Was it?
Yes, it was, Big
okay.
Coco.
Okay.
And so
I've done my research.
Yes, I have been dating him for a while. And so finally he started taking me around to the camp, and I would hang around, you know, at the video shoots and photo shoots and things. So Prince is very astute and always watching the area. So he knows when there's someone new in the area. So he's always watching you. So I have been, like, I'd go whenever I go to the sets, I would always go to wherever the hairstylist and the makeup artist was. So finally I met Tanya, who was his stylist at the time, and so we just clicked, and, you know, you just meet genuine people and you become friends. And so she and I were hanging out, and she was just complaining one day, and she was like, you know what, I'm tired of doing this. I want to go home. I don't want to live out of a suitcase. And I was like, girl, you got the best job in the world. She's like, it's not what you think. And I said, Lord have mercy. I said, it's funny how you covet someone else's life, but you don't know what they go through in the course of a day. And so she was like, it's not what you think, Kim. And I said, I think you work for the biggest entertainer in the world. And she was like, Kim, it's not what you think. And sure enough, my mother used to tell us all the time, you know, be careful, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And she went into, we were on a video set, I forgot what set it was that he was shooting that day, but he went into the room with Prince, and he snatched a comb out of her hand. And she said, you know what? She said, my lips are chapped from kissing your little black ass. I'm out of here. And she literally, after the video set, she packed her stuff up and she left. And I said, when you call it a holy hookup, that I was standing there and got this introduction. I had been hanging out with her. I had formed a friendship. And so the people in the camp knew who I was, you know, and it was just interesting that what God has for you is for you, and not even the gates of hell going to keep you from it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And see, she quit, and I call it the holy hookup, that I was standing there. They were going to Germany the next day, and so they left to go to Germany. He said, tell Tanya to get the salon ready. And all the team was like, no, Tanya quit. Because, you know, Prince is used to being Prince, so he talks crazy to you, and the next day, of course, he knows you're going to be there. No,
right.
This day, Tanya packed her stuff and left. And so he said, so what do you mean? I'm going to Germany without a hairstylist? And they were like, yeah, they didn't know what to tell him. And so he was baffled, so they had to hire somebody when they got there. He hated the person. He wound up doing his own hair for the show that night. And so they come back to Los Angeles, and Coco said, get your stuff ready. He said, meet me at this club in Beverly Hills. And he said, bring your portfolio. I got my portfolio, and one thing my parents used to always instill in me, you know, if you stay ready, like the rapper say, you ain't got to get ready.
That's so good.
I had been doing photo shoots. I had been stacking pictures. I had my book ready. Went to the club. They had already made preparations for me to get in. And God was just awesome. It was just a move of God. So we laid the book on the table. I approached him. He looked at me like, how did you get to my table? And I was like, my name is Kim Berry. I know you don't have a hairstylist, I said, and I'd love to, you know, do your hair. And so he looked at me. He opened the book. He said, so you do hair, you know, in his, you know, snide remark way. And I said, yeah. He said, you got a salon? I said, yeah. He said, go hook it up. And so I already knew. I had been watching her, following everything she was doing. And I noticed on her table, she had this hairspray, I went and bought it. If she had this gel, I went and bought it. So I was duplicating her table, never thinking that I would ever get the opportunity to do prints. But I said, if she's using it, I'm going to use it because she's a celebrity stylist. And so my dad used to tell me growing up, preparation, success is when preparation meets opportunity. When the opportunity presents itself, will you be prepared? And literally, the opportunity presented itself. I went to the salon. I blacked out the windows. I knew how to do that. I got the salon ready. And about an hour later, I get a phone call, and he said, Kim, this is Prince. And I said, oh, my God. And so he says, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it. I said, oh, okay, well, no problem. I said, next time, you know, you in Los Angeles, just know you got a hairstylist. He said, well, do you travel? Now, mind you, I'm 19, 20 years old. I ain't never left Inglewood, let alone California. And so I said, yes. And yes just popped out of my mouth. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I just say? He said, okay, great. He said, we're sending a car to come pick you up. He said, meet us at the airport. I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, is there a problem? I said, no. He said, I said, oh, my God, in my mind, I'm freaking out. And so I was like, meet him at the airport. I was like, wait a minute, what's happening? But that's just how Prince does. He get down. Everybody that you know that has worked for him has the same remarkable story. Like, it's on the spot. You're getting hired. And so literally, I called my mother. I hung up the phone, and I called my mother. I was like, oh, my God, I just talked to Prince. She said, stop lying. I said, no. I just talked to Prince. I said, he said that they're sitting in the car. I said, I don't have no clothes. I don't have no. She said, you better get to that airport. She said, take your curling irons and your hairspray, and you get to that airport. And she said, I'm going to send you some money in the morning. You go to Target, buy you some clothes, and you keep on moving. I said, oh, my God. So I literally took the coat on my back and my curling irons and jumped in. They sent the limousine. I went to LAX. Him and his brother was on the plane. I walked past them, sat down on the plane, flight booked, everything.
When
first
you
time
say
I
on
thought,
a plane,
no.
Was this a commercial plane?
No, commercial
or?
Airline, yes.
Okay.
So for most part, he did commercial. And I just couldn't believe it was happening. I was like, oh, my God, there's Prince. And went and got on sat down on the plane. And first time I got off the plane, I saw snow. I was like, oh, my God, it's
That's
Christmas
like you're from
Eve.
California. That's
yes.
Right.
So Seasons was the first time I met Seasons was traveling with Prince. And so saw snow. I got to the gates open to Paisley Park, and I was like, oh, my God, it does exist. Wow. They walk me through the back door. I go upstairs to the hair salon in the back room. And it was just amazing. I'm like, oh, my God, this is happening. So his brother walks in. His brother said, okay, you're going to do me first. And I said, okay, great. So I'm trained for this. So my beauty school teacher would hand me 6 or 7 towels at a time, train me on speed, train me on ability. And he said, look, he said, quality and then quantity, never sacrificing one for the other. He said, your first head needs to look as good as your last head. So I said, okay, got it. I've already been trained. God had already been putting it in my path and getting me ready for the opportunity such as this. And I did his brother hair and 4 women that were there hanging out with them that night, and one behind the other, bam, knocking down heads. So his brother said, okay, well, he'll be in a few minutes. I said, okay. 1 hour goes by. 2 hours go by. I'm sitting there. I'm looking around. Now, I'm in Paisley Park. You can see the purple rain jacket in the corner, a raspberry beret outfit. There's jewelry laying around. I sat there with my hands in my lap, and I said, Mama used to say, if you go in somebody else's house, you don't touch nothing that don't
exactly.
belong to you. I sat right there for 2.5 hours with my hands in my lap. I said, okay, I don't know what's going on, but if they don't know that I know that it's a camera's watching me, I
exactly.
said, okay. So finally, his brother.
Well, you were very smart for 19, though. You're very
absolutely.
smart. That was very
absolutely.
Wise.
Absolutely. Yeah, mama didn't play that.
They taught
mama
you very
trained
well.
Me. Absolutely. So I sat there, and his brother stuck his head in the door and said, you didn't steal nothing, did you? I said, excuse me, first of all. I said, Mom, I knew this was a test. I said, my mom ain't raised no fools. I said, second of all, quit playing with me. I got to go to the bathroom. He said, you could have went to the bathroom. He was, and so he's laughing at me. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no, I ain't moving through this man's house. This is his house.
And
so
he said, same way. That's
yeah, and so I stayed right there. And so he said, okay, for real. So I got settled, and he said, okay, for real. He coming in a few minutes. I said, don't you leave me sitting here. Now, mind you, Paisley Park is a self-contained. They call it a creative battleship. And so inside Paisley Park, there's kitchens, so they can make their own food. There's studios. There's a hair salon. There's a dance studio, there's a disco, there's a performance area. That, like, this place is massive.
And when there are elevators inside there. We saw a little bit of it. There are elevators inside there.
It's a complete compound. It is
compound,
amazing.
Yeah.
Even now, when Oprah Winfrey came, Oprah Winfrey was like, I thought Harpo Studios was huge. She said, my studio will fit inside of here. She said, this is massive. So if you would have pressed Oprah Winfrey, you know you're doing something.
You got that right. And
yes,
I've only known one or two to do that. So you're right.
Absolutely, yes. And
wow.
So finally, Prince stuck his head in the door, and I was like, oh, my God, he's so little. Like, it didn't matter. Like, when you see Prince on stage, he's larger than life. He is this huge entity. But when you see him in person, he's a small stature man. He's
very quiet.
He's very humble. He's very meek. And he used to ask me all the time, you know, I got like 10 personalities. I was like, yeah, I met all of them. So it's a different Prince in every element of the. But he stuck his head in the door. He said, yeah, I love your work. He said, but you can't have those nails in my head. He said, I'm tender-headed. I said, okay, click, 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 click. I just started breaking off all 10 nails right there in front of it. He started laughing. He said, oh, my God. He said, you are so funny. He said, okay, yeah, you're going to work. He said, go back to the hotel. We're going to Miami in the morning. I said, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I said, you're not getting your hair done? He said, no, I'm good. Don't worry about it. It's too late. He said, I'll see you in Miami. I'll see you at the airport. I was like, oh, my God. So I'm packing up my stuff, and I'm just like, so did I just get hired? What just happened? I was like, oh, my God. So we get to Miami. We stay there for a few days. He says, order whatever you want. He said, just hang out. I'll let you know when I'm ready to get my hair done. I said, okay. But a few days later, he called me. He said, we're going to Chicago in the morning. I said, you're not getting your hair done? He said, don't worry about me. I'm good. I said, okay. So I called my mother. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm moving from city to city. My mom said, just keep going. Keep going. She had sent me some money. I went to Target before we got on the airplane. I bought me some clothes. I said, oh, my God. I was like, what is happening? I was asking my mother. I said, who lives like this? My mother said, you do. And that's when my reality shifted, and I was like, I'm a celebrity hairstylist. Like, I'm rolling with Prince. So Prince rolls with his bodyguard, his hairstylist, and sometimes that's just it, his bodyguard and his hairstylist. But we were going from city to city. They were partying. They were doing their thing. And every night he called me, Kim, you good? Okay, just get what you want. Just let, you know, I'll see you in the next city. Finally, we get to New York. And I had been with him like 2 weeks by then. He still didn't get his hair done. He said, Kim, get the salon ready. I said, okay, here we go. So I get the salon. I find the salon. I got a private room. I set everything up. I got everything laid out exactly how he's used to seeing it. So and knowing that he's a creature of habit, I had studied Tanya's habits.
Yeah.
And so I got ready. He walked in. We had a consultation. He said, okay, I want color. I want a perm. He said, you know, I need a cut. And he said, so, you know, let's do it. Now, before we get to him, his brothers tell me on the way to the salon, don't touch his ears. Don't look him in the face. Don't do this. Don't spill water on him. I said, wait a minute, Jack. Y'all making me nervous. I said, I do this for a living. Don't you mess me up. And he said, no. He said, and then what was funny was everything they told me don't do, I did. I said, but Prince took it all in stride. And when I tell you that I hooked that hair up, I said, Kim, breathe. I said, you got this. Relax. He ain't no different than nobody else.
He's just a person.
I said,
exactly.
I said, you do this. I spilled water down his face while he was in the shampoo bowl. He said, okay, lady, wait a minute. It seems like you're trying to drown me. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I touched him up. Got it back together. We finished that hair. He looked in the mirror, did his little left-right look. He spun around on them heels. He was like, okay. He said, see you later. He said, your limo's waiting for you outside. And he spun around on them heels and disappeared into a puff of purple smoke. And And I was like, I looked out the window. The limo driver was waving at me. He said, I was like, okay, Kim, yeah, you a celebrity hairstylist. I said, wow. And literally I've been rolling with him for 29 years after that. It was the most amazing journey I had ever experienced, you know, and I take nothing for granted. I thank God that he could have chose anyone else, and he did. There were other hairstylists that came in and out throughout my career, but Kim always got the call to come back.
Wow.
And it was beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I can speak to one thing only with regards to ever seeing Prince. I saw him one time live.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I ran into him in Los Angeles. I remember this. It was the early 90s, and myself and one of my colleagues, and at the time, we were in the airline business, of course, and I remember flying out to Los Angeles, and we showed up at this club. It was all the rage back in the early 90s. It was on Sunset, called Roxbury. And Prince was there. We were on the second floor, and they let us into Roxbury. Now, this Roxbury club, they had, when I tell you they had all these fancy cars pulling up,
absolutely,
and I do mean fancy. It was right there off that little turn off Sunset. It was on Sunset, if I recall.
Yeah.
And I remember all these fancy cars. Now, my friend Richard and I, we showed up. Do you remember the station wagons that had the little panel on the side?
Yes,
you may not go back that far, Kim, but they had station wagons with the panel on the side. Now, we showed up at the Roxbury getting out of a station wagon with the panel on the side.
Right.
And
okay.
We go up to the door, and the gentleman says, you know, he looks at our ID. He sees we're from New York. He knows that we are definitely not the typical caliber that's coming into the club. Well, we didn't know this. I don't even remember how we ended up there, but we didn't know it at the time. So we go in, and we heard that Madonna's dancers were there, and they had all these people. We didn't hear that Prince was there, but they had all these other celebrities who were there. And we ended up on, they had a balcony on the second floor, and who do we see but Prince. We're seated on the second floor. Prince literally walks by with, we assumed, his bodyguard.
Yes.
It was he and one fellow. That was it. So it kind of fits in with everything that you said. And he just walks by us, but the bodyguard gives us a look like, don't approach him, don't ask. So we didn't.
Right.
And he walked by. He wasn't much taller than us sitting down as he walked by, and I'm not exaggerating. And that was the only time that we ever had any, that I've ever had any run-in, if you want to call it a run-in, but he walked right by me. So I never forgot that. Now, I have to say, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very special guest with us today, her name is Kim Berry, and she is what I, by all accounts, to be a celebrity superstar hairstylist, and she is also an author, and her book, so super popular out there, called Diamonds and Curls, and that's with a Z, and this is about her life story with none other than Prince, the superstar. So I have to say, Kim, let's pick up with that. Or even go back a little bit. Now, where did all of this come from? I know that you were in, you had gone to beauty school and all that, but what about before that? What inspired you out in the California and the L.A. area to get into hair care and all of that? What was that inspiration? And then we'll move to the book.
What's really hilarious is I had no inclination, never thought about being a hairstylist.
Really?
I was going to school. I was going to be a doctor, and I was going to, you know, whatever, you know, life was going to take me. I had graduated early from high school, top 10% of my class.
Wow.
So I told Mom, I said, I did everything you told me to do. I said, I'm taking a year off. She said, a year off? I said, yeah. I said, I'm not going to college right away. I'm just going to chill out. I said, and you know, just find myself. I said, I didn't, you know, have no babies. I brought you a diploma. I did everything you told me to do. I said, now I'm just going to chill. She said, okay, great. So about 2 or 3 months into that, she said, what you getting ready to do? I said, I'm sorry, what are you talking about? I said, I'm taking a year off. I'm just going to chill. And she said, no, ma'am. She said, ain't but one queen in this house. She said, so you going to get up? You going to get a job? You going to school? Or you going to get the hell out of my house? I said, wait a minute. I'm the baby. I done did everything. I did everything you told me to do. I said, I can't chill. I said, the boys is chilling. Why I can't chill? She said, Kim, did you hear what I said? So I got mad, went walking up the street down to Crenshaw Boulevard in L.A., yes. And walked up into Pacific Beauty College. So I just walked in. I said, let me go see what they talking about in here. And walked in Pacific Beauty College, sat down at the table with Mr. Cedric Goins, the owner of the school. He told me everything about his beauty college and what it entailed. And I was like, well, forget it. I'm going to just do this for the meantime just to get her off my back. So before I knew it, Mr. Goins had me signing on the dotted line. He said, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I said, wait, tomorrow? School start tomorrow? He said, yes. He said, I'll see you tomorrow. He said, make sure your lab coat is bright and white. Make sure your shoes is clean because I will lock you outside. I said, I'm sorry. What wow. did I just sign up for? So sure enough, got my things ready for school. I came home, brought the paperwork, showed it to my mother. I said, well, I hope you happy. I go to beauty school now. She said, I hope you happy. And went in her room to close the door. I said, oh, my God. I said, this lady here. I said, what did I do? So sure enough, went to beauty school. Every day there was a teacher there, Miss Cooper. She used to ask me every day, what are you doing here, Barry? I said, I'm here because my mother making me come here. She said, oh, really? She said, oh, well, you know by the end of these 12 months, I'm going to turn you into a hairstylist. I said, you're not going to turn me into nothing. I'm just here because I gotta be here so my mother stay off my back. She said, yeah, okay. So sure enough, about 6 months into the course, mind you, this is a 12-month course that I finished in 9 months because I was so mad. I did not miss a day. I went every day. I wanted to get this over with. I was mad. I joined in the middle of the summer. My friends are like, Kim, come on. We're going to the beach. We're going to Disneyland. I said, no, I got to go to school. I'm not playing with y'all. I'm going to knock this out. In the course of being in beauty school, I met a young sister named Pat who had been there for almost 4 years. I said, you know that's not real college, right? You know we supposed to get out of here in this year. So I knew that I wasn't going to prolong this no longer than I had to. So sure enough, 6 months into the course, they did a statewide competition. 200 kids came out from all over California. You had to bring a model. We didn't know that it was a head-to-toe competition. I just happened to tell one of my homegirls, can I use you as a model? She was like, yeah. So I said, okay, I knew she was an only child, spoiled rotten. I said, okay, bring your stuff. Her mother had bought her like 6 or 7 prom dresses. She came dressed to the nines. When I tell you, beautiful gown, gloves, diamonds, the whole nine. So, for getting her ready for the hair show, I was like, do you mind if I cut your hair? She was like, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. I turned my sister's hair orange. I turned it pink. I said, oh, my God. I kept going back to Miss Cooper, like, can you help me? She said, no, go to your textbook. Now, mind you, she helping everybody in the school. I said, oh, my God. I was like, you helping this person, you helping that person. She said, go back to your textbook. I was like, what in the world? So I said, okay. Finally figured out her hair color, got her color corrected, got her straight. We go to the competition. Like I said, my girl showed up, head to toe, beautiful gown, hair butter was whipped. So we get to the competition. It's a 2-day competition. Out of 200 kids, I placed top 10. So out of the top 10, the top 10 come back the next day. And she showed up again, bam, banging hair, bam, banging dress, outfit, outstanding. We get to the competition out of top 10. Kim Berry takes first place. When
Get
they hand me
here.
The trophy, absolutely. When they hand me the trophy and the check, Miss Cooper walks over to me and she said, no help from her, mind you. She was watching from a distance, though. She said, didn't I tell you I was going to turn you into a hairstylist? I said, oh, my God. I said, so I didn't know I was getting Mr. Miyagi's wax on, wax on, wax on. I said, it was so intricate of how all of these people played a part in my journey to get me to the finish line. Like I said, Mr. Goins, the owner of the school, built my speed up. Miss Cooper made sure that my technique was on point because everything was by the book. She took me out of class early one Easter and made me go on the floor. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, I don't have no business on the floor. I just started in beauty school. She said, you got this, Kim. I'm doing this lady's hair. did a pocket curl, burned this lady's hair. She walked up to me. She said, Kim, she said, did you burn this lady's hair? I said, absolutely not. She walked through this lady's head and found the exact spot. I had took the curl, put it in my pocket. They call it a pocket curl. Put the curl in my pocket. I was like, she said, now the next time, she said, first of all, these people know that you're in beauty school. Now the next time I ask you, did you make a mistake, just say yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed. I'm going to leave the floor. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to shrink up. She said, these people know that you're in beauty school, so it's okay. They're willing to take the risk because they know that, you know, you're learning. I was like, wow, who knew? I said, I was so embarrassed. She was like, now finish this lady's hair and let's keep on going. And so they gave the lady a little gift certificate to come back and get her hair done again and, you know, for free and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, my God. I said, didn't even know that all of this was building me up, building my character to get me ready for the real test that I was about to, you know, the journey that I was about to partake in. So everybody along your path, you have to know that it's some form of an angel, some form of a teacher. So it was just an incredible journey getting to this point because I never thought about doing hair, didn't want to be a hairstylist. Knocked that 12-month course out in 9 months when I graduated, and still 30 years later went back to the beauty school. Mr. Goins said, I always talk about you. I tell all my students about Kim Berry, that Kim Berry is a celebrity hairstylist. Matter of fact, our school is one of the highest ones that has most of the celebrity hairstylists. Candida Farmer, Candida is a celebrity hairstylist. Everyone knows her in California. Pam Farmer, celebrity makeup artist. Kim Liu is another celebrity makeup artist who graduated from our school. So we produce some of the biggest...
Apparently.
Yes, makeup and hair artists that work in the industry to this date in California. Like, it was just amazing how they all led a part in my journey. And... It's just amazing. When I look back on it, I thank God. I don't take nothing for granted, and I bless God for every part of my journey.
Absolutely. I love everything that you have said. And I have to tell you, I got to go back to one part which just cracks me up. I can't wait to, just to remind everybody better. But it reminds me so much. I love your journey, and we have so much in common. But I think this is every black mama who says, yes. You can't, because I swear to you, it's the same story. I had grown up thinking that I'm going to just lay in the house when I graduated high school and thinking I'm just going to sit around the house, you know, and I don't have to go to school now, so great.
Right.
Man, my mama, she told me you're going to get a job or go to school or get out,
right.
Literally
that's
in
right.
that order. And so
that's
when you,
right.
I said, oh, my God, you brought back memory. So I'm sure that's every black mama in
yes.
America. We don't play that stuff. We
no,
really
mama don't.
No,
don't play that.
Not
mama
at all.
Yes.
And especially from North Carolina. Anybody from North
right.
Carolina, ain't nobody playing that kind of thing. Now, let
that's
me
right.
tell you, Kim, I love this. I love the story. You are just amazing. If you're just tuning in, I better bring everybody up to speed. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. This is a very, very special interview this morning with none other than I'm calling you the superstar celebrity hairstylist, Miss Kim Berry. Again, we're welcoming you to the show. She's also the author of Diamonds and Curls, and that's Curls with a Z. So when you guys are out there Googling it or going on to Amazon or picking up the book, definitely you want to search it correctly. So tell us about this amazing book. Now, I've seen some of the things online. Tell us about Diamonds and Curls.
Yes, Diamonds and Curls is my memoirs, 29 years rolling with rock royalty. That's my book. Working for one of the most iconic stars in the world. Like, you know, I tell everybody this little girl from the hood did good, you know. It was just amazing of how basically – our lives were so intertwined, he and I together. We literally grew up together. And because most marriages, like I said, I outdid both of his marriages. He was only married for 4 years apiece. And I outlived his lawyers, his doctors, his wives. You know, I was there when his mother died, when his father died, when his baby died. I was there for some of the most intricate highs and some of the worst lows of his life. And God chose me to walk alongside this man, you know. So I'm telling intimate stories of literally how I, you know, was there. Some of the stories were just, it was just he and I, like, you know, and how we laughed together, how we prayed together, how we bagged on each other's mamas together. Like, it was just the most incredible journey. So I'm not telling the stories about, you know, book sales and, you know, concerts and all that. There's enough of those books out there. I'm telling the more intimate side. Nothing scandalous, nothing salacious. Just literally our everyday life of how I walked alongside, you know, one of the most, like I said, biggest names of our time, that he literally created the soundtrack to our lives, you know. And I'm telling the intimate stories, the part that people would never get a glimpse of unless, you know, I pulled the curtain back. One of my hashtags is behind the purple curtain, and showing people what life was like on an everyday journey with this man.
Now, did I uncover somewhere that you were not necessarily a Prince fan at first, you know, before you started working with him in that way? You were aware of him and his music, but you weren't necessarily, like, the number one fan. So
nope.
How did that happen, or how did it come about, and did that change along the way?
Well, hanging around him, you have to become a fan. He teaches you what real music is.
Yes.
I had knew his popular things, Little Red Corvette, Kiss. I remember watching Kiss on a video, just watching it, and I was
you
just
knew
staring.
The 80s.
Friend. Yes. So yeah. I knew of him, but I, like I said, never thought that I would wind up working with him. I wasn't a fan, and so I think that's another reason what kept me around so long, because I wasn't so geeked out and tripping off of him
exactly.
When I got around him.
Ugh.
It was a job for me to do. I showed up, like one of the fans said on my page yesterday, I would have just kissed him, you know, and I said, and you would have just been fired. So, you know what I mean? So I didn't fan out over him. I wasn't geeked out. I showed up every day. I did what I was supposed to do. I tell people all throughout the book that I served him as if he was God himself, you know, because everything that I do, my mother had already instilled in me, you do it with excellence, you know, and whether it be the trash man or the biggest man on the totem pole, you serve everybody with respect. And you do it with excellence, and so it was nothing for me to show up every day. Like it was a blur. It went by in a blur, because it was just what I did every day. I served this man. I was with him sometimes 6 months out of the year, gone away from my family. I miss holidays. I miss, you know, big things. Even, you know, I was telling some people, my daughter's first steps, once my daughter was born, I missed my daughter's first steps being on the road with Prince. I came home off the road. My mother said, I have a surprise for you. And my daughter came walking across the floor. I was like, no, like I missed my daughter's first steps. You know, so you miss some big things in life at home. But, you know, family was able to enjoy some beautiful things. They were able to travel the world with me sometime, my mom and my daughter. And you know, but they had some beautiful Christmas and holidays because of Prince, you know. So,
sure.
I said, so it was awesome. The exchange was well worth it, you know, the exchange. So a lot of my friends were like, oh, if I were you, I wouldn't take, because Prince talked crazy to you and expect you to be there in the morning. I wouldn't take this off of him. And, you know, I wouldn't let him say that to me. I said, okay, let me see now. You at home on your mama's couch, and I'm in Switzerland in one of the most beautiful hotels in the world. So don't tell me what you won't take off somebody, because I said, you'll do what you got to do to get the job done. So all those stories will be. So right now, Volume 1 is out now, and I'm actually going to re-release Volume 1 April 22nd of next year. I'm looking forward to adding some new stories to the book, what I'm doing is 10-year chronicles at a time. So I'm doing, you know, Volume 2 and Volume 3. So the fans have looking forward. So they're already chomping at the bit and asking, when's the next book coming out? Because I ended every book on a cliffhanger. So each one will end. So, you know, back in the day when we had Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boy Mysteries,
yeah.
The book will be like that. And so each book will end on a cliffhanger leading you to the next book. Instead of doing, you know, this big, thick Bible-type book, it's like putting 30 years in one book. I didn't want to do that to the fans. I didn't want to bore them. So there's pictures in the book, behind-the-scenes pictures. There's, like I said, stories. There's also they always ask me, like, well, what products did you use on Prince's hair? And what what type of makeup did he use? And what type of soap? So I have what's called the endorphin. What Prince had a song called The Endorphin Machine. And so in each part of the book, there's a small section, and there's cartoons that are drawn by Mr. Gary. And then there's another brother who's an artist. His name is, oh, my God, just because I'm trying to tell you, oh, his name escapes me. Anyway, there's an artist who illustrated the book, and that I'm going to tell you his name in just a few minutes.
It'll come to you, but that will come
Moiselle.
Back to it.
The brother's name is Moiselle. His name is Moiselle.
Oh, Moiselle.
So,
okay.
Yes, he did these beautiful illustrations in the book. So the book is beautifully designed. And so we have the artist pictures by Moiselle. Then there's the cartoon characters that of my hairstyles all over the world. So Gary lent his expertise to the book as well. So both of those brothers, I appreciate them so much. In each part of the book, the endorphin pages are different anecdotes of, you know, things that I've shared with Prince, different hair products that I've used on him. And speaking of hair products, before Prince passed away, we were coming up with a product line, which I'm definitely going to produce. I'm bringing it to manifestation. It'll be coming out real soon. So we have a hair product line that's inspired by Prince. The fans are going to love it. It's going to be beautiful. The packaging is amazing, and I can't wait to get it to the masses. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I can't wait, because you're going to come right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show and tell everybody all about it. We're so happy for you. Well, listen,
thank you,
Kim,
so much.
I want to, absolutely. Well, I also want to find out, you know, some of the actual stylings and things like that. Now, did you go with him, like, during concerts and literally work at the concerts, or were you mainly just at the house on that before he left the house, or how did all that work?
Well, when I first started, it was the early, you know, I graduated after high school and then beauty school. I only did stuff when he came to L.A. But as things progressed, I literally became his everyday stylist. So I traveled like I was his right hand. Like, Prince didn't go anywhere without his hairstylist and his bodyguard, like I said before. So I was everywhere with him, every concert. Like, people ask me to this day, were you there at this party? I was at every after party. I was at every concert. I was at every – so for 29 years, if you could imagine, literally all over the world, wherever Prince was, Kim was somewhere in the background.
Wow. Now, we're just trying to wrap our brain around that, because you're talking about being a young person and literally seeing the world. Now, what about some of the other celebrities? Did you was Prince your only client during that period, or did you also do some other hair?
No, thank God. Over the years, I was able to work on, when I would come back to Los Angeles, I had the opportunity. I was good friends with Cat Williams' manager. Cat Williams has been a client of mine for the last 10 years. I just did a movie with him called 2 Minutes of Fame. It was the most hilarious event of my life. There were so many comedians: Sinbad, George Wallace, Lunell, Red Grant,
wow,
Jay Farrow, you name it. They were on set. We laughed all week. It was the most hilarious thing that I have ever done. Meet the Blacks, you know, did hair with Cat. Every one of his comedy shows that you've seen in the last 10 years, that's all Kim Berry's hairstyles on Cat Williams. DJ Quick is a client of mine. Wendy Raquel Robinson, Loretta Devine, Tamara Mari. God has just really been in the blessing business. I have been able to touch some of the most beautiful celebrities, and it's been a great journey. It's just been amazing, and I'm looking forward to what God is you know, going to do next. So still working on photo shoots and videos to this day. So I'm still rolling in the industry. But people are like, well, what are you going to do now? Like, I was just going to crawl in a hole and die. No, when I met Prince, I was doing hair. When I die, I'm going to be doing hair. So I'm still rolling. I'm like, I tell people, don't, you ain't seen the end of me yet. So don't count me out. God ain't finished with me yet. So I'm looking forward to what God is about to do. So like I said, I have the product line coming coming out, the hair extension line that's going to be coming out. I'm up to some big things. God is doing it, and I'm excited about what he's about to do.
Well, I see that you're on the Hair Radio Morning Show, so we know that you're on to big things, and we love it. What I cannot wait to get into, and this is a great time to talk about this, we're excited. We're excited to have you because we're going to be exploring having you to come back and give us a full series on this amazing life. And I want to say it's based on Diamonds and Curls, which is your amazing book. Again, Curls is spelled with a Z. So when you Google it out there, and Kim Berry is an amazing author out there with this telling and retelling of the stories of her life with Prince for 29 years. That's a long time. So, yes, you talked about some of the different changes along the way, not so much changes, but some of the different experiences along the way that you had an opportunity to have a front row seat, literally. Could have been a concert seat, but literally a front row seat to this man's extraordinary life. Was there any part of it that really kind of, that you were kind of surprised? You didn't expect Mr. Prince to be that way, you know? So some kind of, you might have gone and thinking he was one way, and then come to find out he was totally different, and maybe in a pleasant way. So anything you want to kind of share with us about any kind of thing like that?
Well, like I said, he was a practical joker.
Really?
He played jokes on people all the time. if you go back to the Morris Day times, they literally kidnapped some of the band members and came out on the stage and played for Morris. Like, if you read, I tell everybody, if you read everybody's stories, if you lined all our books up, you know, year, you'll find out who the man Prince really was. Because one thing about it, he was consistent. He had his, I call it, you know, asshole moments. He was mean to you. He had his moments where he was loving. He had his moments where he was hilarious. He had his moments where, you know, it was just an awesome experience all the way around.
He felt like he was an all-around person to me.
Absolutely. Most people, you know, they want to make it like, oh, he floated on a cloud and, you know, he pooted purple dust. No, he was a human being. He was a man. That's what I'm telling about in my book, is the humanity side of Prince, that he was a man, that he laughed, that he cried, that he desired certain things, that he longed for certain things, that he, you know, just like all of us, he put his pants on one leg at a time. And so people want to be like, oh, he's this mystic god. No, he was a human being. And he hurt, he laughed, he cried, he was human. And that's what I love about it. I'm trying to think of one moment that the Dave Chappelle moment, when Dave Chappelle talked about the shirts and the blouses. That story was absolutely true. Now, mind you, we were all sitting in the kitchen in Paisley Park, and so they had just got through, you know, having a recording session in the studio, so the band members, everybody in there, that was our normal thing, everybody hanging out in the kitchen, laughing and talking and eating lunch. And so then on comes the Dave Chappelle show. And so they do the shirts and the blouses. Now, mind you, everybody in the room is cracking up laughing. And so they're laughing because Prince is the butt of the joke. And so this is a true story that really happened. Charlie Murphy and all the crew came and played basketball against Prince. Inside Paisley Park, there's a full basketball court. Most people don't know that Prince was a basketball superstar in high school.
Wow.
And literally would go out and ball you crazy in his 6-inch heels. Do you hear me?
Wow.
Like the boy did not play. He could play some basketball. So anybody that came in Paisley Park was getting challenged to basketball, ping pong, whatever he could whoop you at, you was going to get challenged at it. And so he had a full ping pong table set up in Paisley. It was awesome all the time. And so the show came on, and I was just cracking up laughing, and he's looking at me like, that's funny to you, Kim? I said, oh, let me straighten up. No, sir, that's not funny. I said, but come on now, you know that's funny. And we laughed at Prince so hard that day, but it was just so amazing because, we all knew it was true, that it really did happen. And so so it was just awesome to just be around him, you know. And when he would laugh at you, if we was having a bag session and he'd be bagging on people's mamas, him and the guys in the band would be going back and forth. He would read jokes, like books on your mama jokes. So he would clown them. He was just hilarious. And so it was funny, especially if he bagged on you and it was funny, he was going to laugh from his gut, like he would scream. Like, it was just so funny. But when it was, he was the butt of the joke. You know, he'd look at you sideways. That's funny to you, Kim. I'm like, oh, no, sir, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. He's like, I'm not laughing, Kim. And I was just like, yeah, then you know this funny. I said, so he was just a real dude. And it was just amazing just to be around him, you know. And I just love it. I just love that I had the opportunity to walk alongside that man. It was so amazing.
Kim, I have to take you to this part. What do you miss most about Prince?
I really got to say his laugh. That voice, everybody was like, you know, did he talk really deep? No, well, yeah, he did. But he had the whisper, you know, especially if somebody was around that he didn't know who was in the room, he would come up behind me and whisper in my ear, who's that, to your left? And who's that? I'd be like, okay, that's your lighting director. You don't know who that is. Like, it's so many people on tour, you don't know who it is. But, you know, I missed that laugh, the joy that he carried in his heart. Always joking around, just being a all-around funny dude, that laugh. I think more than anything, I'm going to miss that laugh. And the funny faces that he would make, the smirks and the side eyes and the, you know, if somebody was in the room, oh, my God, like him and I would communicate literally by eyeballs. Like, do you see this fool? Like, do you see what's happening? Do you, you know, and it would be so funny, like the little things that we created over the years, you know. Him and Maite had a sign language, you know, that they would speak in. And it was just all kind of stuff that, you know, he created over the years. Everybody in the camp had their own little thing with him, you know, that everybody can speak on. So that's what was just amazing. Like I said, if you line all the books up, you'll literally learn the different parts of Prince and how amazing he was.
Well, we are talking about Diamonds and Curls with a Z. By the amazing celebrity superstar stylist, Miss Kim Berry, the 29-year, you know, hairstylist relationship with Prince, superstar Prince. This has been something that, to me, I think it's kind of unparalleled. I don't think I know of too many folks out there who've been with the celebrity that long. Now, maybe there's some, but very few stories. So what do your family members think now, and also your friends, and how did they react? Because sometimes friends can be a little jealous. Sometimes we're going to just put it on out there of the types of things that you were able to accomplish in your life. Did you ever experience that where some were a bit on the jealous side, or no?
Not really. All my friends were cool for the most part. Like
you
I
had
said,
real friends.
Yeah. You had some people, like I said, that would listen to my stories. I wasn't too many people I could talk to that was outside of the camp, so I kept it, you know, real close to the belt. But a few people that I did tell different stories of what I was going through or how I experienced life, you know, on the road and, you know, being with this man. You know, I had a few smart Alex, like I said, that would talk crazy and be like, I wouldn't take that off of him. I wouldn't let him say that to me. I'm like, don't tell me what you wouldn't say or what you wouldn't take. I said, because like I said, you at home sitting on your mama's couch and I'm literally sitting in, you know, we went in the ice hotel in Switzerland and we traveled on camels across the sands in Egypt and walked through pyramids and, you know, I had an amazing life with this guy. And so, you know, it wasn't much that you could share. Like, people didn't even know that it was even me until the camera showed up on my doorstep and interviewed me, you know, the night that Prince died and the day after Prince died and all these people. I was on 2020 and all these other, you know, fabulous television shows, and people are like, that was you all these years, you know, that was you. I was like, yeah, it was me, you know. And so we collaborated on hairstyles, like we collaborated, you know, with his music and you know, so it wasn't many people that I could talk to. I had to keep it close to the belt, and the few people that did know it was me, One of my girlfriends, Shanice Wells, she would tell me all the time, she said, you so humble, you so down to earth, like people didn't know, like you would get off the plane coming from Milan, and then you'd be like, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a two-piece, because I was never geeked up, I was never haughty or high on myself, I knew what I did, I knew who I served, I knew who I walked alongside, but like I said, most people didn't know that they, like I would be in an elevator one day, it was Lala Anthony, and you know, a couple other, you know, high-end girls in the radio industry, and they were talking about, girl, Prince changed his hairstyles like I change underwear, you know.
And they
I
was didn't just know like,
they,
you were
they
right
didn't even
there.
Know that Prince celebrity, Prince Stylist was standing right next to him, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I kept it to myself, and I just rolled along because Prince was a private person, you know, and up until the time of his death, you know, many people didn't know much about him, you know. So I said, there's a lot of people, there's people writing books and stories, telling stories about him that didn't even know him. They're talking about the Prince that they think they know. So who better to tell the story than the person that walked alongside him directly, you know. And I got death threats when I decided to write the book, and people told me, you don't have any business telling his story, you know, sit down somewhere and be quiet. Why does the little black girl have to sit down somewhere and be quiet? Why can't she tell her story? But there are people out in the industry that's selling books that's telling their story that didn't know anything about Prince, or they're telling the theoretical part of Prince. But I can tell you directly how he loved and how he spoke and how he thought and how he walked, you know. So why don't I get to tell my story? So finally I stopped living in fear and decided to be the woman and be the person that Prince literally built me up to be. And taught me how to be, like I said, he and I grew up together and became different people because God placed us in each other's lives. So I tell people, they like, how did you think that you would been able to be there for so long? It was the God in me that saw the God in him, and he needed that around him. He needed somebody real that wasn't a yes man, that wasn't, you know, he used to call me, you know, his homegirl from the hood. So he used to ask me all the time, what was the pulse in the neighborhood? What were people thinking about his music? What did people think? So I literally had his ear. I literally was able to influence some of the things that Prince did in his music and throughout his career that people don't
know
about.
Are you saying Prince would ask you, like, you were kind of like your, you know, the ear to the ground or what did it so call it? But you knew, you know, he would kind of let you kind of gauge what, or he would use you to gauge what the folks kind of might have thought of him. So
absolutely.
So he would bring music into the studio.
He would bring music into the studio, and he would play me some of the songs. And, you know, he knew if I stood kind of stoic and didn't move, he was like, you ain't feeling that. I was like, no. And so then he would play a certain song, and I'd be like, oh, okay, that's banging. Yeah, that's going to be a banger right there. So I remember one night we were in the hair salon, and we were doing his hair, and he said, Kim, I need your voice. And I said, what you mean? He was like, I said, I can't sing. He said, don't worry about it. I can make you sound any way I need you to sound. I was like, he said, I just need your voice. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So we go into the studio, and he told me what to say. And people don't know that I'm on one of the tracks, Get Freaky, Let Your Head Bob. And I was like, that song to this day is one of my favorite songs of Prince. Get Freaky, Let Your Head Bob. Get Freaky, Get Funky. I was like, "That's," and I'm on that track, and people don't even know. And it is so amazing. Like, what,
I
like,
got it. We're going to play that. We got to get that song.
Absolutely. I love it. One of my other favorite songs of his is Face Down. When he brought the beat in the studio, he was like, Kim, what you think about this beat? And I was like, oh, my God, just dope. And he came in there one night. He was like, Kim, this is what we got to do. Go buy me some church hats. Go get me some boas. Go get this. So we got some of the wildest outfits. Me and his wardrobe person ran out to this costume store, brought back all this crazy stuff. So you'll see them in church hats. And so I wasn't just his hairstylist. I literally was his all-around go-to girl. So I worked doing whatever needed to be done in wardrobe. And if it was trash on the floor, he'd be like, Kim, pick it up. You know, come on now. You my girl. Just, let's have my back. So there was no, I served as a bodyguard sometimes. I served as you know, his personal go-to girl. So it was just amazing. You know, like people wound up after he passed, like how did I wind up with so many of his things? Because I wasn't just his hairstylist. I literally was his all-around go-to girl. I held the makeup. I held the clothing. I had his shoes. I had his socks. I had his handkerchiefs. So I had to be prepared for whatever he needed. I was the all-around go-to girl. I wasn't just his hairstylist. We left hairstylist-client relationship long after, way before, yeah. And it's like I said, most people aren't with their lawyers and the doctors for more than 20-plus years, and I outlived everything that went through Prince's life, his relationships, his lawyers, his doctors, his everything. I saw him grow into the man that he became, and it was just a beautiful journey, and that's what you'll see throughout the book, Diamonds and Curls. I tell people Prince was the diamond and I was the curls of the book. And so my book is based on the different facets of a diamond, the cut, color, clarity, and the characteristics of a diamond. So all those different chapters, the book is broke down into those chapters, and my stories fall in between all of those, the cut of a man, the color of a man, the clarity, and what made him up to be that person. And so that's how my book is based on the diamond, and just showing how, Farrakhan gave a quote just saying how beautiful the colors that he gave off throughout his lifestyle and of the diamond. And so that's why I brought that into my book. And so I'm just excited about, like I said, to share my story of who this man was and bring it to the nations of the humanity of
absolutely.
Who he was. Not the celebrity. I'm talking about the man, Prince.
The real Prince. Now,
right.
I love what you just said also, that there were items and things that you kind of have. Is there one piece that you have that you can just tell us about, just one piece?
Well,
that
I
you
have
still
one
have
of the
meant some,
the gold iconic,
things.
Yes, the gold iconic outfit that he wore on stage. Whatever Prince had, he had many copies of, because we would leave stuff behind in arenas. We would leave, so we always had to have many of the different outfits. But I have one up right now to this day that I know that I'll probably wind up keeping, is one of the gold outfits that traveled all over the world with him. And so when I go on my book tour, coming up, that will be displayed every time I show up. So when you see Kim Berry, you'll see the gold iconic outfit that Prince wore on stage night after night.
Now, I wish
traveled,
I could fit into it,
because yeah,
I would certainly try.
And he was a tiny
but I'd
man.
Pop it open
oh
all over the place, yeah.
Right. He was a tiny man, and people don't realize until they see his shoes or they see his clothes of how tiny he really was. He was a very small in stature man, but he was bigger than life,
He towered in
people
real
the,
life.
Yeah, I said the Prince that sat in my hair salon chair was not the Prince that you saw on stage, and the Prince that you saw, he was humble, he was kind, he was quiet, but then he was loud and he was rambunctious, and so he had so many different facets to him. That's why the diamond fits him perfectly. When I characterize him, that it was so much to him, but he was this beautiful star that God created. He used to tell me all the time that he was downloaded by God to bring music to the world, and that he knew that this gift was given to him. And I tell people that when he died, that when he got to the gates of heaven, that he'll be able to say, God, I left everything you gave me on the stage, because he gave it to them night after night. And it was so beautiful to be able to see live music and see him perform. And like, he would go out for his encores. He would do 5 and 6 encores after a 2 and 3 hour show and give 10 people, whoever stayed behind, that them 10 people, he would give them a show like it was an arena filled with 70,000 people. Like, he was so dope like that. But it was the music, and whatever energy you gave him, he was going to give that energy back. And it was so amazing to be a part of that and see him rock so many. I would stand on outside of the stage and just see him wave his hand and be like, put your hands up, And one man could rock so many. It was just amazing night after night to be a part of that journey and meet so many different celebrities, Sheila E. and Patti LaBelle and Candy Dolfer and, Chance Howard. And I mean, man, it was just so amazing. Mike Phillips, to see all these stars, he picked them out, handpicked each one of these celebrities, and they became Maceo Parker, Najee, just amazing. And I was able to hang around all these celebrities and be a part of their lives night after night. And it was just amazing. Like I said, that God chose me to be around all of these people. And it was just amazing that the family, you know, lifestyle that we built with these people year after year, different celebrities and different people that he built and created, and, you know, Carmen Electra, you know, that I was able to, you know, actually come in contact with and be a part of. All people like, did you do the women in his lives hair? Absolutely. Anybody that was hanging around Prince, Kim touched them. You know, Andy Allo, you know, that all these people are now celebrities in their own right.
That's right. Wow.
It was just amazing to be a part of their lives, and you know, now I can tell the stories. Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was part of that, you know, and it was just amazing night after night, like I said, just to be a part of that.
Well, let me just say this, Kim. We are looking forward to all of the installments of this book, Diamonds and Curls, and that's Curls with a Z. Your story. It's by Kim Berry. So you definitely want to check it out. Now, what are some of the best ways they can find this book? And, of course, we're gonna kind of get it right here through the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely.
But tell us some of the other ways they can get the book today.
Thank you. Yes, you can go to my website. It's www.diamonds, and the letter N, C-U-R-L-Z. So Diamonds in Curls is the website. So you can go to my website, and it'll take you straight to Amazon. You can get the book there. And if you hit me on there and send me an email, I can set it up where we can do a special signing. I can, you know, personally autograph the book for them. And then also, like I said, coming up, I'll be doing a book tour, so you can stay tuned on the sign up on the website, and I'll be coming to a city near you, so you guys look forward to that.
Well, we're
going
to bring you out to my expo. We have a huge expo in May. It's the world's first 8-day expo, period. And it's my very own, called HairNationExpo.biz. And we want you to come out here. So we're going to contact your folks and get you scheduled to come out here and do a huge... Hi, entrepreneurs, it's Kerry Hines. Be armed with your very own copy of my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, and learn all the ways to break off your own hair industry success. It's available at Amazon.com.
it all it is is just an excuse to give the blues a dollar to spend and remain innocent. Spray with the ruthless attack, check it. Cause all that you talking about ain't shit. Step off of that, try a new approach and get smoked because I ain't no joke, yeah.
All right, you're listening live to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Thursday morning, November 4th of 2021. It's our broadcast show number 626, show number 626, as we march along to show number 650 and then on to show number 700. And so it's a great honor, privilege to serve you every day. Right here on our broadcast, remember we are here from 6 a.m. Eastern to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 in the morning to 8 Central Time, and so forth and so on. So we're so happy to have you with us. If you're just joining us, then you might have missed our kickoff interview this morning with George Naomi. You know that he is struggling with autism, and he was on our show with his wonderful new girlfriend, so please stay tuned for the replay of that if you did miss it, or we'll get it on for you again at some time in the near future. Looking forward a little bit, we've got quite a few things to share with you guys this morning. It is Thursday, so it's our throwback. As we do, we often play some of our great hits. Again, if you're just catching us, you might have missed Crystal Waters kicking off this morning with 100% Pure Love, and we just played Michelet's Nicety. And so bring it back, memories of the 90s. Now, I also have to say, coming up in just, as soon as the new year rolls around, we'll be launching our official Return to New York, Return to Brooklyn, New York. We're doing a big workshop that's happening in downtown Brooklyn at a hotel. Now, it's a Hilton hotel property, so please understand that. There are a great deal of details about this event. Again, it's over the course of 2 days, and it's during the Valentine's Day weekend. So Valentine's Day technically is February 14th. That's a Monday. However, our workshop kicks off the day before. So it's that Sunday, February 13th of 2022, and Monday, February 14th of 2022. It's both days very intense. We invite everybody, whether you're a professional, we have workshops that are set up for you, or whether you are a person who is not certificated or licensed, but you like hair and beauty, this is also for you. We have different workshops set up for everybody over the course of the couple of days. We're treating to the food, so you need to come on out. It's really, really going to be a fantastic event. Now, tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com. You'll save a lot if you buy the two-day pass. We also have a full one-day pass, and we have individual workshops that you can register for. So this is going to be very nice. We've got a red carpet. We've got luxurious pictures. And I always say this, who says that a workshop, a learning workshop, cannot be luxurious? When I tell you we're on the 23rd floor overlooking the New York City, it gets no better than this. We're talking about our beautiful skyline room in addition to our workshop classroom on the lower level. So lots of things going to be happening. We're going to have some wonderful networking parties and VIP book signings and special guest speakers, and you'll be able to buy some hair and whatever it is that you're into. You'll see it here at this amazing hair and beauty and community workshop that we are going to be having. Again, lots of details are out there. Of course, we're going to be covering and having a lot of these guests right here on our show. Plus, you can go to hairstylistworkshop.com and and get a whole bunch of information about it. Again, that's hairstylist with a T, workshop.com. So very much like it's spelled, like it sounds. Please go there. And if you have questions, reach out to us in our office. You guys can reach us at 862-277-0686. Again, that's 862-277-0686. Carrie Hines, I always tell you, please, when you listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show, grab a pen and paper. Keep it handy. We always have some information for you guys. And as we start to move along, I also, whenever I come in live, you guys know we must take a moment to acknowledge the folks without whom there would be no Hair Radio Morning Show. There would be no 626 broadcasts today if it weren't for folks like FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Stimulating Roots, Smooth Black Ink. These are some of our legacy sponsors. And then we have folks who have just come on board and been incredibly supportive over the last month or so. Folks like Statewide Chip. You guys heard his commercial play right here. You Go Girl. That's You Like Uniform. Go Girl. .com. Well, I should say, go to You Go Girl. You can Google it or go to bobsa.org. Let me get it right. BOBSA.org. And listen out for the commercial right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Along with the hairempress.com, she's got a whole bunch of things set up for you. Again, that's the hairempress.com. You guys know Linda. She's one of our hosts for the Entrepreneur, the Hairpreneur series right here on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. So much always to share. Listen, why don't we take a little bit, a quick commercial break. We'll get on a song. I really want to play this song that from one of our guests. You guys know her. She's won a Tony Award. Her name is Miss Melba Moore. And I want to get on one of her big hits called Just Do Me. So stay with us. Right after this, we'll go ahead and roll on in. It's Two Thumbs Up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. Hi, everybody. It's Carrie Hines. And in honor of our 600th episode celebration, we're playing some of our classic interviews and sharing some behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, The Hair Radio Morning Show has chronicled our lives, mixing great hair and beauty talk with current events and shaping each broadcast with music and special guests. I want to thank you and to our amazing sponsors and advertisers. Now, let's take a listen back together.
and it's been a long, rough road. But I never lost my voice, I never lost my health, I never lost my praise, and I am still you for me.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. With me today is a very special guest. You guys know her. She's been with us before. The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to welcome back CEO of UBC TV, Ms. Peggy Dodson. Welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you very much, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing great. It is my pleasure to welcome you back in 2020 to this wonderful broadcast and to bring somebody who, you know, we're doing a special right now on women in business and who else besides the legendary Peggy Dotson to talk to about UBC TV.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Now, what can we tell folks what UBC, for those who may have been under a rock for these last decades or so, but what can you tell us about UBC TV?
Well, I think I can break it down into one sentence, if I can remember. Well, UBC is, I guess technically, you could say we're an urban broadcasting company. And UBC is a media technology broadcast company that creates original urban lifestyle content, goods, and services. That's distributed over multiple platforms globally. That's the basis of what it really is, in a word.
Why is it so important to have something like UBC TV these days?
Well, I think I know for one reason is our culture. We need to be able to tell our own stories, and those stories need to be told by us. Some years ago, the only people that were telling our stories were not of our race or culture. And as the more the world gets multi-platform, the more culture is important. And we've known for many years that that African Americans, we have over $1 trillion buying power, and that's growing. And that we are the creators of the world, and people follow us. We over-index in video. We over-index. We purchase everything. We over-index in everything. But yet we're the least represented in reference to who we really are. And people have basically painted us as one-dimensional. Although today things are better. I must say that some of my colleagues are working a lot, and some of the studios have opened up more to accepting us to be on screen, whether it's the small screen or the big screen. But there's so much more still to be done, because the problem is controlling the narrative. We still are not controlling the narrative, which means that our stories are not being told, although there are more of us in front of the camera and more of us behind the camera. The stories are still not being told.
Well, Peggy, why do you think they're not being told the way we wish to tell them, even to this day where, as you pointed out, things have gotten a teensy bit better, but why are we still not controlling the narrative?
Well, because the industry is controlled by white males. And it's a well-known fact. I mean, I'm in so many meetings. I meet with, the Googles, the Facebooks, the companies that I'm always around, AT&T's, and I have deals with most of them. But the issues that they also recognize is not that they're recognizing the issue that a lack of diversity. When you don't have people of color at the table, you have the wackiest stuff that comes out. We've seen in some of the commercials that have been on, we're saying, like I think it's, what company was it that had the blackface, Prada? I mean, you created
right.
Blackface. Who was at the table to decide
exactly.
that?
And
they actually greenlit it.
Absolutely.
And it's unbelievable.
Which makes no sense. Exactly. And I have to jump in because I know exactly what you mean. Here in New York, I watched, we just kind of wrapped. In February, it's Black History Month, and they show, tell stories, little on the news, they show a little five-second clip about, usually it's, kind of textbook black hero type thing, and they'll talk about it for a few seconds. And it's usually where they're totally white anchors talking about it, which is okay, but then I noticed, since I watched the news all the time, that they kept retelling the same clip, showing the same clip over and over. No one bothered to come up with different clips about different black heroes. And I said, wow, they're not only, I said, this is just, they're just trying to capitalize on it and not even making a real contribution to their own broadcast about the contributions of blacks and history. And this is something, and it just reminds me of what you're saying about having a seat at the table, having a seat at the table. And to me, I think like UBC TV, it's having the whole darn dining room. I think this is the thing that I'd like to see. And as you so eloquently put it, with things that are changing, and they are changing slowly, and we have folks who are looking more and more like us in front of the camera, but and some behind the camera, but it really needs to be on a corporate level, I think. How do you weigh in on that?
Well, yeah, I totally agree with you. It needs to be more on a corporate level. You're right, where there are more people of color on corporate boards. Where you have, I mean, for instance, venture capital, women, period. Let's go just say women. There's, what, 0.1% of women on projects are being funded by venture capitalists. And so, you know, the 99.9% of them are male. And, you know, just having more people of color at the table and more women of color at the table in these corporations, and to be able to green light things, to be able to say there are a handful of women out here now that are green lighting, they're getting deals at Netflix and things of that nature, but we're so far behind still. It's like the weight of the world is on a handful of people's shoulders,
and it shouldn't be like that. You would think this is a no-brainer. Because when we are faced on television, like I have so many of these amazing stories to share with you guys today. One that kind of jumps out at me is, you know, the diversity in my own company at Hair Radio LLC. And I have folks who represent the rainbow. We have Caucasian colleagues and associates here. We have African Americans. We have folks who are outside of the country. We have folks over in Ghana who support us and who promote us out there. But one of my favorite times, I had one of my colleagues on who's not an African-American, and I remember showing the flyer for our big Hair Nation Expo events. We're going to talk about that as well down the road some. But I was showing the flyer where we have these beautiful three ladies who are African-American, so it looks on the picture, and different shades. And we do that so everybody can identify. And it's gone over very well in the black community. But the colleague, again, who's not African-American, said to me, is it possible we could have, instead of that, maybe, she said it delicately as you could put it, but could we put a Caucasian face on there instead? Of the three black ladies, I guess. I forget exactly how she worded it because she really tiptoed around that. But she didn't mean any harm. Just in her world, she was never used to looking at so many black images. And so to her, this was like, you know, can you put something, you know, a white person on or whatever the case might be. I forget how she said it. Again, I wish I could remember. I was kind of in consternation. I was taken back for a moment, taken aback at what she had asked me, because I thought to myself, I was very polite, but I said, you know, I wake up every morning, I turn on the TV, I'm bombarded with images of folks who don't look like me. All day, every day, night and day, month after month, for year after year, for decade after decade. And you can't look at a flyer for 5 seconds with black folk. I really wanted to say that. And she's probably listening to this broadcast right now. Well, you know who you are. But I just crack up at it because I said, you mean to tell me you can't stand to see it but for 5 seconds? And I have to live my entire life, you know, looking at images? Not that we are against anybody, but it's just the fact that we're all trying to live together and get along. So the key is to be fair, to be fair. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Hair Radio, and I love the Hair Radio Morning Show because we can point out some of those differences and some of those things. And it's not to the degree where we're trying to alienate or xenophobia or anything like that. We're all here with a similar purpose called life and trying to lead our way and find our, navigate our way through this thing. And that's what I'm here to say. So it's still, it cracks me up to that degree.
Yeah, it's just about equality, actually. Equality. It's just about equality and being just and being fair and being even and being reflective of the country. You know, even now you have the formula casting doesn't work anymore. They still do it to a degree where you have one black person or one, Latino, Asian, very, very, very seldom, even though in the Academy Awards you had the big winner this season was an Asian a film, but
right.
very seldom. You have, even with the newscasters, you can see the local news. You may have one African-American anchor, you may have the top anchor may be a white male, that's the way they do it. It's 1 to 3, 1 to 4, or maybe 2. Every now and then you get 2, depending on, their demographics. But,
depends on the time
fair.
Of day that you might.
True.
Yeah, there's still some, like you say, I love what you say, there's so much work to be done because I watch a lot of the anchor news locally here in New York City. And what I do notice is that it's exactly what you said, and sometimes it's even worse because you don't even have, there's no representation with a black male anchor lead, or so very rare. You know what I mean? And then you're not even seeing a real representation of even the African-American experience because what you'll see are folks who are just one complexion. You never see the real rainbow. And you certainly don't see natural hair being reflected. What you see are basically the same cookie-cutter reporter styles, straight hair to the shoulder or something like that. That's all that you see. It's the same old,
same old.
And you can tell, you can absolutely tell that there is nobody black sitting at that table. And even when they talk about black stories and reporting things, you can still tell by the narrative, by what's being reported and the angle and the, you can still tell, you get a chill, like, oh, did they just say that? And that kind
because
of
the
thing.
Editors, because the editors,
the
producers
right.
are not people of color.
That's
and
right.
I have
feel
a,
it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and if they are some, for instance, I won't bring up any names of networks,
no.
but and because I have friends that work at them. But, you know, there
right.
are some, I have one colleague that told me, even with people who are of color, African-American, they use the same people over and over again, which is very boring because you get create the same opinion and it doesn't diversify,
true.
Even to the same black voices, you know, like these are the only people you know. You can't pull somebody else
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
And one of my white colleagues told me, and she said, Peggy, I'm apologizing to you. I said, you don't need to apologize to me. You need to apologize to everyone else. But she says, what happens is that sometimes things move so fast, they don't think about bringing anyone else in. They only go to the pot that they know. And they get people that they're familiar with, and it's a very incestuous business.
Exactly.
Because people only, you know, for instance, you see comedy sitcoms, and you see Kelsey Grammer. How many shows was he on? I mean, Kelsey Grammer. Oh my God, 10 shows.
Listen,
with Kelsey
I just
Grammer
watched exactly, and it's so funny you say that. Not to pick on him, but I just happened to be watching Patricia Heaton's new show. On Thursday night, and who pops up at the end? Kelsey Grammer.
There you go.
I say
like
to folks out there
rash.
That what happens is it seems like other communities can kind of fail forward. They can have one show after another that kind of gets shut down or it doesn't be a hit. And they keep on going on and on and on. They just get so many additional and extra opportunities where we can't, we have to fight and do something amazing just to get half a one. But I love what you said. And let me just tell everybody again. Guys, if you just tuned in, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest with us today is Miss Peggy Dodson. Now, you guys know her. She is the CEO of UBC-TV. And we're so excited to welcome you back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning, Miss Peggy Dodson.
Good morning. I'm here.
Yes, you are. Now, listen, I wanted to jump in. You mentioned something a little while ago about equality, and I thought it was the perfect lead-in to talk about hair equality. I've just launched a new site, hairequality.com, which kind of takes you to our Hair Nation Expo platform, but it talks about the diversity and how important that the there's something out there that we're going to get into just a tad called the Crown Act. And so hair equality makes everybody part of that conversation, like you said, about seats at the table. That's what this is all about. We want to recognize everybody's hair and not let folks use our hair in the black community to be discriminated against. And I wanted to get your thoughts on hair equality and what you think. You know, we've all, you know, folks, especially natural hair folks, and even those who are not, our hair has been very important to us, and folks have used that to separate us. And what are your, what's your take on it?
Well, it's like Samson and Delilah. What happened with Samson? He cut his hair and he lost his powers. So hair to us is part of our cultural expression, and it's part of our power, and it's part of who we are. And you know, having to, I had a friend who has locks, and he had to cut his locks. He got a new job. He said, "I'll cut my hair," and because they don't, you know, like, have to cut my locks. They don't want that. And it's just a way of making people lose their identity and fit into something that has no soul, no creativity, no nothing. And when you fall for that, into that no soul, no nothing, you are then dictated to be someone that you are not. And, I mean, black folks have been always, we just see our hair everywhere. I mean, from locks to all types of braids and everything, hair expressions. You know, I love the hair shows because I love the competitions, the creativity that's created. And I feel that that is an expression of who we are, and it should always be welcome. And I'm so glad and so happy about the Crown Act, because, you know, no one should be penalized because they have locks. I have locks. And, you know, because I am a creative.
Can't they just keep their fingers out of our hair? I mean, my goodness. Leave
our
hair alone.
I know. The hair is very powerful because it's your crown. It's your crown. Your crown is your loyalty, your heritage. And you know, this goes all the way back to, you know, slavery and them bringing us here and totally taking anything and everything away from us that identifies who we are as a culture or race of people. I always say culture, you know, our culture. And and they had to do that in order to control and you know, defame. But what's happening now is that that's not flying anymore. We're in a new era of acceptance and creativity and cultural. I think we're in a cultural revolution.
Exactly.
Where all the stuff that used to be is no more. We're not tolerating the way that things used to be. And it's a great change. It's a wonderful change. And that's why I keep my hair in locks, because I want people not to know, you know, I mean, afros, locks, I mean, japros. You can go to Japan, and what they call, they wear afros over there. They're called japros. Japros, like Japan afros.
Wow.
People follow our culture globally, from whether it's hair or what have you. And so why should we cut our hair when that's our power? I want little girls and little boys and people who are executives to know that, yes, you can be professional and wear your suit, your heels, or whatever. And your hair could be locks, it could be afro, it could be whatever. It's just an expression of who you are, which is you have to bring yourself into the room anyway.
Exactly. And I think, Peggy, you're absolutely right. It also seems that, to me, what folks who are not in this community just don't understand. And they don't care to understand it. They just want to, you know, I don't know what, I can't even make any sense of it. But the thing is, where there was a teenage boy and he was, you know, that wasn't even allowed to march in a graduation because of his hair and all this kind of crazy, it's so crazy and bizarre that it just doesn't even make any sense. And the only thing I can kind of maybe say is that in these other communities, maybe their hair just doesn't mean anything to them. It's not that cultural deep resonance with them, and perhaps that's it. I don't know. But what I am here to say is that, and to reiterate what you said, and we cannot tolerate that going forward. This Crown Act, which is really creating a respectful and open world for natural hair, that's really what this is about. And you have these states in New Jersey just being like the third in the nation at this time. I think there's a fourth. There are a few states where it's pending, and this is where they have passed these bills to not discriminate against folks, especially for natural hair, but you know, using the hair as a way to separate and treat people in a derogatory fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to keep an eye on it right here on the Hair Radio. We wouldn't be the Hair Radio Morning Show if we didn't, Miss Peggy Dodson. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of little girls, and you mentioned this earlier, you know, just to even ask you, because you've been really doing some amazing things at UBC-TV and being a CEO, you already set an example for young women. But what can you tell us? Like, if you have to share advice, what advice would you share with young girls out there about being a CEO or whatever you think they can do?
Well, my advice is never give up on your dreams. You know, you dream something, and people have to understand that, you know, the head of Google and IBM and Microsoft, all those companies were created in someone's mind. And then they, from there, they were created some in garages, Facebook. All these guys worked out of garages and small spaces. They didn't just pop up. And everything is a process. It doesn't go a straight line. It will go up and it will go down. But you have to believe in your dreams, and you have to believe in yourself and never, ever give up. One of my mentors always told me, he says, never, ever give up. You don't ever give up, because that last swing of the bat that you decide not to swing could be the home run that you were looking, you know, to hit. And if you believe in something and you created it, that's what life is all about, creativity. You know, even,
absolutely,
you know, everything. Just don't give up on your dreams. You can be whatever you want to be. Don't allow anyone else to determine who you are. You determine who you are. That's between you and the Creator, the Most High. I've had people tell me so many discouraging things on my past. I've been on this path for a while, and as you know, Carrie, we're like we're like sister and brothers, you know.
We have,
you know,
been
we've been
always, yes.
Sometimes you have to make a way. You have to find a way, and you know, because people actually.
And we lived in the
you.
Same house at some point, so
yes,
we really
know,
are. Like
I know
brothers.
We're like sisters and brothers.
We
know?
Really are,
and you never know how many people really have faith in you, and how many people are looking up to you. I mean, there's been times where I said, oh God, I got to give this up. I can't do this anymore. And, you know, and someone like, you know, a teenager would call and say, oh, Miss Dodson, you're such an inspiration to me. My God, I just want to,
exactly.
And I said, no, I can't, I've got to keep going.
And you pick yourself up and you roll on. That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Wow. But, you know, you just have to
keep
at it.
Well, who are
some
of the folks, Peggy, who have influenced you? You are an influence to many other young women. But who are some of the folks who've made an impression on you?
My mother.
Wow.
My mother. She's at the top of the food chain. My mother was so amazing. She's in heaven now, and my dad too. But my mom was just a powerhouse. She was an entrepreneur. She was a very spiritual being, mother of the church. She was a community activist. She was a healer. She was a negotiator. She was a financier. She was my mother. And, you know, I have sisters and brothers, and she was mama. But she balanced all of those things, and she was just so smart. She could do anything. But if I could be, you know, a third of what my mom was, then I feel I'm a success because she was awesome. And, you know, I look at other women like Harriet Tubman. These are my role models. Harriet Tubman was just phenomenal. She was, if you don't know about Harriet Tubman, she was part of the CIA. Besides the Underground Railroad, she was, I don't know if they've told the story, but she was part of the CIA. She was a spy, and she helped recruit, people from the South to fight in the North, you know, because in the beginning, you know, the North is getting their butt kicked, and just a whole bunch of other things. She was fearless. She was very fearless. You know, Cicely Tyson, Aretha Franklin. These are the, you know, people, Billie Holiday. I go look at people from that era because those are the trailblazers that really kicked the doors in. And when they're at a time when, it was very hard on black women, you know, because it was very hard. We have it easier now, maybe harder in some senses, but, you know, we have it easier now. But the top of the food chain, my mom, my mother. She was just amazing. And she could sing, too. She was just amazing. And I love her to no end.
Well, it sounds like you mentioned about if you could just be a third of what your mother meant and how she still impressions and has made such a big impression on you and your family. I have to say, I think you've just nailed it and hit it out the park. I'm going to give you 3/3 on that. I think that you, as you were describing all the wonderful gifts that your mother shared, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, my goodness, Peggy's describing herself. That's what I got. And
yeah.
I just want to say, and I know that, and I can say that, you know,
yeah.
you've been doing some amazing things. And for you guys out there who just tuned in, we've been having this awesome conversation. When Peggy comes to town, she brings it. And we're chatting today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I wanted my first guest of this year to be Miss Peggy Dotson. She is the UBC TV CEO. And speaking of UBC TV, what are some of the programs that you guys are looking forward to bringing us?
Well, we've expanded Carrie, we've just taken off and
yes.
expanded the whole programming grid with UBC. We are, I guess I could say that we are going into the connected TV realm this year, OTT. And if you don't know what that is, OTT is over the top, which is direct to consumer. And connected TV is sort of like the Rokus, where you have connected TV. You're not just watching broadcast or cable anymore. What's happening is that cable is it's ending because it's too expensive and cumbersome, and it has been a thorn in a lot of people of color's side who have wanted to get into the business of storytelling on a large scale because the certain powers that be were holding people back. And they did not want us to get it because it's expensive. What I'm in is expensive as it is. But, you know, to have $500 million to get into the cable industry, you won't own your own company. And henceforth, you don't own your stories, you can't tell those stories because you have a whiteboard of directors or people who have no connection with anything with culture dictating to you what you must and cannot, what you can and cannot put on the air. So in the world that we have it now with streaming, which is taking off. I guess television did not think that it was going to take over this much, and it's taken off because now everything's going to digital streaming, as you know, Carrie.
Exactly.
And so now we are able to, the playing field now is level. I can compete with anyone else out there. It's all about content is king and queen. And once you have the content, you have to have the distribution. I've been very, very blessed. Like I said, you have to stay in this game and not give it up. I've been at the right place at the right time. I've been able to cut deals, direct deals with Roku and Amazon Prime. We're going on Fire Stick. We're going on Android TV. We're doing a deal with Hulu. And I have a deal with Verizon right now, which gives me the ability to go international, linear. All the cable stations are going to digital cable. So we will also have our own, as you do with your hair radio show in your salon, which I'm sure we're talking about, to be able to get into homes. Is traditional TV is dying, has died.
Yeah.
It has already died because
people
just don't want to, they can't sit in front of a cable channel, and people don't want to see the commercials. They don't pertain to them. I don't want to see a commercial about Geritol. I don't need Geritol.
Not
you know,
yet.
We
don't need it quite yet.
we don't need it. I'm never going to need it.
Exactly.
I have my herbal compounds. And so, you know, it's just that we don't need that type of, those type of commercials. So
exactly. What
digital technology does, it gives us the opportunity to identify who's watching, when they're watching, how much they're watching, and a whole bunch of other stuff. You have artificial intelligence and all of those kind of
AI.
Things coming into play, which is a two-edged sword, but it can be used for good in order to show people the right commercials and things that they want to see pertaining to their own lifestyle. And that's what's
so
great about that.
Well, I love what you said. Yes, because I remember when streaming kind of started. Streaming had a slow start. At first, there was a little bit of a – there was a separation between broadcast and streaming, and the streamers
mm-hmm. –
you know, it was almost like a stepbrother kind of thing for if you were streaming content. Streaming was not, and when I, just as a consumer, not even talking about in a broadcasting level, I was like, well, this sounds just the same as a song I just played digital, so I mm-hmm. thought it was okay. I couldn't understand why the folks would look down at streaming at that time. So, you know, and as you have so eloquently put it, times have really changed, and the
mm-hmm.
streaming has really taken, you know, front and center. And so
well,
I'm really
proud. Well,
because now
it's broadcast quality. Yeah, everything now is HD and 4K, and it's broadcast. Now the video has caught up because before it was like spinning and lagging and things like that. I mean,
exactly.
People like Verizon live stream the Super Bowl. And you get a live broadcast. You get broadcast HD quality, same as it goes all across the board. Because what is happening now is that content is about content and the different screens. You may want to see it on your mobile. You want to maybe see it on your tablet. You may want to connect the TV, which is like Roku, which is what we're going on. And you may want to see it on screen. Yeah.
We're always so much right there together.
Yeah,
I'm going to save our big thing for we'll tell you about it the next time we get together, and I'm going to fill in Miss Peggy right after this call. I'm loving this today and having this wonderful conversation. But you know what, Peggy? I have to also say one of the biggest things, the other big D in the room, of course, digital is critical and important. The other big D is demand. And being able to have, like you said, that control over what you watch and not just sit there and let folks just give you and tell you, but you get
mm-hmm.
to make that decision. So how does UBC TV feel about that, giving people that power?
Well, I feel great about giving the people the power. I mean, we have an iOS app coming out, and I want people to be able to get all content on as many platforms as possible. It's called TV Everywhere. And that started some time ago. And I was always embraced, you know, like you said, I was always, you know, I'm not tooting my horn, but I was one of the first three African Americans that was recognized in technology back in 2001. I was on the cover of Black Enterprise with two other sisters, and the story was Weathering the Storm. And we were three African-American women in technology. And because then I always felt that technology and media could marry each other. And once they marry, then you have something special, because then the technology then can, media can then, the stories can be told over different platforms and in ways that people want them. And then you can begin to monetize. Now a lot of the commercial ad inventory now is coming onto digital. You know, because, you know, companies want to get a ROI, better ROI, which is return on investment, for the money that they're spending on advertising dollars, which means they want to reach that coveted demographic, whether it's the X-Gen or the kids or African-Americans or Latinas or whom have you. But we over-index African-Americans, particularly black women, we over-index in video. So, and we make all the decisions. So a lot of the content and commercials really today are made for women, because women make the decisions in the household. We make the decisions for the men. The men are out working. Some women are out working too, but both women still make the decision whether they're working or not, because they take care of the children. And it has a lot to do with that.
Exactly. And the marketing folks out there have long known that they always target women with whatever it is that they're trying to push on the folks out there. But I have to say, Peggy, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And it's nice to see that, you know, that folks are kind of thrusting forward and making a little bit more inclusion and, you know, inclusivity out there. Because that's what forces these folks to change in these corporations, as they see the dollars. And they know we make the dollars. Maybe they're not aware that we know that they know that we know. You know,
we're the 10th largest economy in the world with the buying power.
That's right.
So, I mean, I think it's higher than that. I think it's eight. It's the eighth largest. Now, these are, I'm saying African Americans. I'm not saying any other. I'm just saying, and then, you know, the Latinos follow us. And then, so you mean you have the fifth, the fifth largest economy in the world or here? You know, so what I was saying about UBC in reference to content, you know, my goal is to create lifestyle content. Lifestyle content helps, it has legs, and it helps us to appeal to a wider demographic, all people, because when you talk about lifestyle, I've always wanted to have a channel that has, you know, could tell different stories. You know, for instance, we have a new show called City Vines that we're rolling out. City Vines is our food and wine show, and it's about new restaurants, and we've been filming that. And one of the things I wanted to do was also to teach people of color about wine, because we consume, when you look at the numbers, we consume 85-83% of all liquors, African Americans. So, you know, now we're becoming more interested in wine, because wine has been around since the beginning of time, and wine is also very good for you. So wine pairings and things of that nature, new restaurants, and then we have an auto show that talks about autos. We have a show called Urban Access, which is like urban red carpets and things like that. We have a Style and Beauty Cafe, which is all about fashion, new designers and all that kind of stuff, and what's happening in the beauty world. And that's where you and I, we're going to make an announcement, I know, soon.
Absolutely.
Are partnering together to do something very, very exciting.
Absolutely.
And we have I have a cannabis channel, which is all about the world of cannabis and hemp, because that is something that people need to know about from a business standpoint. I have sports, which is my namesake. I love sports, and, you know, I've done that for national TV, produced that, and we're delving into news.
So we're delving into news because we need a more balanced voice. I'm tired of seeing the same old people doing the same old things, saying the same old opinions. And they're not talking to us or any people
exactly.
of color. And we need to get a real voice out here. And we have our music stuff, you know, UBC Jams, and which is our small concert type stuff. We have going to be doing some new shows we have coming out, and you'll hear about those. But I'm really excited about the two things is our new shopping platform that we're rolling out called the Urban Home Shopping Network. And it is something like an urban QVC. It's a platform, but we're also going to be putting together a TV show that will feature all types of products and services for small businesses and entrepreneurs who can't get on the larger platforms and things like that. And so I'm very excited about that. And we have one of our big shows is called the UBC Mixed Dance Show, which is my show that I created. It is the evolution of Soul Train. We're adding DJs, and we're having poppers and breakdancers and stuff. We have some auditions coming up this spring. If we can get past being under quarantine, which is really scary right now. So hopefully we've been filming since last year, so we have a lot of new stuff coming up. And we're getting ready to make our national debut on Roku. And we have subscribers, and people who want to subscribe, they can go. It's a free subscription. We're not charging. So at the moment, we're not. So we can become a member of UBC TV Network family and watch our content and all the kind of stuff we have. We have a lot of stuff coming up, Carrie. A lot of exciting things.
It sounds like it. And we are so excited for you at the Hit Radio Morning Show and the Salon TV Network. Now, I've got to ask you, so folks who want to visit your website, is there a website where they can get all this wonderful information and find out more about UBC TV?
Yes. You can go to www.ubctvnetwork.com. And you can go there, and you can actually sign up for free to your free membership, subscribership to UBC TV. And once we launch the mobile app, that same sign-in will get you into the UBC experience. So we will have premium content, live content, sports, pay-per-view, everything. And we're also adding podcasts. We have a whole lineup coming, in addition to the radio, our radio
wow.
show,
yes.
where people will be able to hear your show on our
yes.
platform as well, and vice versa. Like everybody, listen. Carrie is awesome, and
he's just
wonderful, and he's so just. I have to toot your horn because you're just so awesome, and we've kind of like had this parallel kind of.
Yes, we have, and I have to say. First of all, I want to thank Ms. Peggy Dotson. Whenever we do any of these things, and the first person I'm thinking about who can add really something that's meaningful, so that our listeners and our viewers and folks out there, you guys actually tuning in right now, who can add something to the conversation? And your name is always the first that pops up. Ms. Peggy Dotson. I can just say nothing but amazing things. You've just done some just award-winning things at UBC TV. We're going to be following you very closely right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We will be doing a whole bunch of partnerships. We have some wonderful events that we're going to talk about with Hair Nation Expo. We'll get to that in some of the upcoming episodes. And hopefully you'll be able to come back and join us, you know, from time to time and, you know, drop some knowledge on us and you know, give us some highlights from your broadcast and let us, you know, talk to some of those stars that are helping to pull it all together for you and bring them right
mm-hmm.
here. You know, you have a family dynamic going on here at Hair Nation,
mm-hmm.
At Hair Nation
mm-hmm.
Expo, but the Hair Radio Morning Show and Salon TV Network. So we are, that symbiotic feeling is going on, so we want you to be front and center right here always. So thank you. Now, Peggy, is there anybody you want to shout out to this morning? Before we say goodbye, anybody at all you want to shout out to?
Let's see. I would like to shout out to my team, the UBC TV family. I want to thank all the people who have supported me, Peggy Dodson, and my vision. When no one else, there are people out there that when nobody, no one else supported me, I have a handful of people that they know who they are. They were right there for me. And I have a heck of a team. We're small but mighty. You know, there's Anthony Jones, there's Lenny Nugent, Verona, Amelia, Peter. There's just a group of us here, Nathaniel, who's my webmaster, who I would not be able to do anything. But, this, you know, people have to understand all you need is a mastermind team. It doesn't take a million people. It takes a handful of people that share your vision. And trust that you are never going to give up and that you're as crazy as I am, like I am. And that sleep,
so the right
I
people.
Sleep, yeah, the right people. I believe me, I've been through the wrong people too, and that you should always know you will go through the wrong people, but you have to come out and keep going. But exactly. I've been through the wrong people, and now I have such great people. I want to shout out to my team who support me and support my craziness and my manicness that I have, because I'm a perfectionist, and but I work very, very hard, and we've really done some great things together, and we're getting ready to go to the next level. We're getting ready to go out into the national and international
spotlight. Well, I was about to say, I've got a news flash. I think you've already arrived at the next level. You are just doing it up. The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud again to thank the amazing Miss Peggy Dodson, UBC TV CEO. And to make sure and visit their website, her website is www.ubctvnetwork.com. And we are real happy. And again, we're saying UBC. So that's U like uniform, B like boy, C like Charlie. But Urban Broadcast, Peggy D, Urban UBC.
UBC TV.
UBC TV, we love it. All right, and we'll see you back here soon. Thanks so much for being with us. Okay, folks, we want you to keep it right here. We have a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community, my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Well, y'all know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Terry Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
Hi, this is Lonnell Williams of 3LW-TV, and you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
All right, it has been an amazing Thursday. It's November 4th of 2021. I had to double-check. It's live this morning. It's been a live broadcast. It's our show number 626. I'm going to thank you for listening. It's a great honor and a pleasure to literally serve you every day right here on our broadcast. We have a lot of new stuff on the way on tomorrow's show. We have a scheduled guest. He is an extraordinary interior designer who is now working and doing some commercial accounts at the hair salons and barbershops, as well as residential folks. So he travels. He is someone you need to know. So we'll get him right here on our broadcast. Should be in our last hour between 8 and 9. So his first name's Michael. We'll introduce him to you tomorrow on the broadcast. So real excited about that. And have so many live announcements to tell you about. So you definitely want to tune in for tomorrow's broadcast. It'll be our show number 627 tomorrow as we march towards our next marker, really, which is show number 650. So it's just been a fantastic, fantastic day. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, remember that we share the entire three-hour show across our social media. That's right. If you follow us at Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram for that much, on Facebook, look up and search the Hair Radio Morning Show. If you are on Twitter, you can tweet us at HAI Radio. And if you look for us on Instagram, search under the name Hines Carey. You'll find me on Instagram. And we have so many other wonderful updates at our website, which is hairradio.com. That's HAIRadio.com. And if you're looking for information on the upcoming workshop, simply go to www.hairstylistworkshop.com. That's coming up in New York, February 13th and 14th of 2022. I'm going to go ahead and get the outro started. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you back here tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. It's been a great pleasure. Again, I'm Terry Hines. Enjoy your Thursday. Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also,
He's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's at Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. Go to www.ruggedevo.com for more details. Again, that's ruggedevo, that's EVO.com for complete details on their products. Also, StimulatingRoots.com. Now, Stimulating Roots is a hair product growth system for women, for everybody, really. And how they spell it, I love this, it's R-U-T-Z. Get amazing hair products that supports healthy hair. And I say the secret is in their name, Stimulating Roots. That's really it. That's what actually grows the hair. Now, we're also taking a moment. Go to their site, StimulatingRoots.com. Again, it's spelled R-U-T-Z. It's how they spell roots.com. Now, we're also thanking our entire advertising and promotions family for introducing our show fans to their great products and services. And you will find many of them right here in our website store at www.hairadio.com. That's hairradio.com, spelled with just one R. Now, it's also been our honor to welcome our amazing Hair Radio Morning Show fans from coast to coast in the United States and North America to continents all around the world. Our many friends and family, folks over in Ghana, South Africa, Nigeria, Egypt, and our folks across the diaspora of Africa, of course. Now, we're also thanking our big fan base in Europe, folks over in Italy, Spain, France, England, and really all over there, to folks back here, right here in America, folks who join me from all different time zones. I broadcast from right here in Brooklyn, New York. The show is live from 6 in the morning to 9 Eastern. Again, that's Monday through Friday. So we're on the East Coast, and we're reaching folks who tune in from the Central Time Zone, from out in the West Coast Time Zone, and we are just honored, and we thank you from New York to L.A. and from, you know, from Boston to Miami, Florida. So we just love you guys, whether you're in Texas, Chicago, wherever you are, you can tune into this broadcast. And again, we thank all of our amazing fans, and to the islands. We haven't forgotten about you folks. We thank you. We welcome you. We appreciate your participation in our broadcast. Now, it's been my...